Hey, everybody, and welcome to Error Report for the week of December the 9th. I'm Clint Prentice. Joined with me, as always, Matty Maluski.
Sup, dude?
And Ryan McGinley.
I'm for show up in my gaming game. That shit, those shits looked amazing. Samuel Jackson on Twitter.
And there is no Evan Tognati this week.
Boo.
He said, and I quote on Twitter, "Once again, busy. I'm not at my house." I sense such malice in his voice.
Bet she's not busy.
Also, my mom just texted me.
No. He'd be like, "Once again, busy. I'm not at my house right now. I'm working on my film score at Juilliard."
Film score. Okay, so let's start with Matthew.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's start with Matthew. Right. Just to get him out of the way. Or what? Well,
yeah, that's a good idea.
Save the best for last.
Been fucking catching up on stuff. So I've been playing down.
What else is new?
Yeah, right?
Right, right. So you're catching up on a bunch of games for Game of the Year stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Just all downloadable, as it turns out. Unless you want to count Final Fantasy 13 too, but you don't want to count that game, so.
No.
Because it's really bad so far. An hour in, it's already looking like a grand old time. But of the games that I feel like I can talk about with some knowledge, I'm about 40% through Dust.
Okay.
And, I like it. I'm more towards Evan, I think.
I like the game. I don't like. I think because Evan liked it so much, whenever I had to form an opinion about it, I had to take the more negative stance on it. And I also just think the story's kind of trash. But
it seems pretty trash so far, yeah.
Like, it's fine. Like, it's a fun game.
It's decent.
This goes back to my thing. You just said, I'm kind of on Evan's side. Evan really likes the story in that game. That story's kind of trash.
Yeah.
You are the most contradictive person I've ever met.
What? No, that just as an aspect of a game is bad doesn't mean the game itself is bad.
Like, yeah, playing that game is a lot of. Like, I think I almost got 100% in that game. And
you did.
Like, oh, I did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I took the report.
So, I mean, for somebody who didn't necessarily like the story and thought that sometimes the combat wasn't as fluid as it could have been. Like, that game's still a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of regretting playing it on tough because I heard that it was easy, and tough is really hard.
Well, yeah, especially when you're doing it for a game of the year where you want to finish it fast.
I started it before we were talking about game of the year.
It gets harder as you go on.
Good. Good. Yeah, there's some stupid bullshit with the platforming. And then it's like, oh, now you touch these bubbles and all the poison gel things come out. I'm like,
oh, you're in that part. Okay.
Serious? Yeah. And then there's spikes everywhere. And I'm like, come on, game.
Yeah, yeah. That is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're about two thirds through.
Really? It says I'm at like 40% on the. Or is that not including side quests?
Well, I mean, isn't there a lot of like collectibles and stuff like that?
Yeah, there are a lot of collectibles. There are also a lot of side quest stuff. But I think that environment is about two-thirds through the environments, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm nearly done with the caves, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else other than Dust?
Mark the Ninja is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really digging it. It's really fluid.
Yeah.
It's kind of Batman-y in like 2D. And
I
that's
can see
really
that.
Good.
That's the same exact way I thought of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely is. And yeah, I'm really looking at that. That might, you know, that's definitely a contender for 10.
It's a very fun game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've also been playing Spelunky.
Okay.
Okay, I kind of like Spelunky a lot, actually. It's
okay.
It just reminds me a lot of The Binding of Isaac, but
sure.
A little more complex.
Sure.
A little bit more bullshit too.
Sure.
But it's still I like it a lot.
Go on.
It's just all about like it's like I'm Indiana Jones, and that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot like that.
Do you like being Indiana Jones?
I think Indiana Jones is a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I guess that's
like,
about it. Oh,
like
and I'm a
Drake?
Super hexagon fiend. But, yeah, that game's
I see
fun.
How it is.
What's up?
Nothing.
Okay. 59.11 seconds on harder. Eat that.
Sounds.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. I'm done.
You're done already?
Off the mic.
Really? Okay. All right, Ryan. How's it going?
Man. I've like Matthew. I've been trying to catch up. There's a couple games that I've missed out on. Game of the year. I've actually realized that without these games that I've been playing, I don't even have 10 games in my top list.
Oh wow.
Because I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 is like scraping the bottom of the barrel for that list for me.
Sure.
So okay. So you haven't played 10 games this year that you would consider contenders?
I know there are better games that I have not played yet that would probably fit more than the games that I have played.
Sure. Okay. So what are you playing right now to catch up?
Well, right now I'm trying to get Far Cry 3 out of the way. I've been running through the story.
That game is a lot of fun.
I can't wait to go back after all this is over and blow some more stuff up. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
I just beat Dust, actually. I don't even want to say it. I just experienced, I'm sorry, not Dust, Journey the other day.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, that was fast.
So you had an experience with Journey that you said was probably the perfect experience?
Mm-hmm. The perfect experience, for at least for me, because I've heard like both sides of the camp like play it like unhooked from the internet right the first time. So you're playing solo.
I don't think you should do it that way.
No, but and then I've heard like and then you play go back through and then try to get co-op partners. The way that I played it, I didn't even think about unhooking my internet or anything because I just got the Journey Collection actually.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, oh, that's perfect timing. I'll pop that in. So I started the game up and I asked around, I knew it was only 2 or 3 hours long. So I was like, all right, let me just bang this out in one sitting. So. So I was playing it late at night. I actually wasn't expecting people to like jump into my game or anything.
Yeah.
And I started the game up and that game is gorgeous, by the way.
Yes, it is.
The first, I guess you would call it the first level or the first area.
Right.
I went through, I was by myself. I like learned the game mechanics and everything.
Same here.
When I got to the second area where there's all the dunes and everything, or maybe it was the third area.
With the bridge that you have to create, or is
not
that...
the bridge? The one I think it was the one after the bridge, where the dog—I call them dogs—the like cloth, like little creatures follow you.
Okay.
Where you're first introduced to this, I think that is the third area. I was, and they actually relate to the story or are relevant. I had just gotten one of the things that make your scarf longer. And I was moving through the moving forward in the environment with these things following me that make the same type of effect when you chirp to communicate with other people.
Yeah.
And I heard one go off back near where I heard the or where I got the cloth piece. So I turn around and I start running down to go to the thing, and it turns out that it was actually another player. And I was like, okay, that's really cool. He came in behind me, so I ran down and I helped him actually get up to the cloth piece because his scarf wasn't as long as mine. So that introduced me a little bit to the mechanics. So we got to the end of that level, and at the end of that level, there's a hidden cloth piece underneath the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But he ran up and he like sat down to start activating the end of the level, and I kept trying to like chirp at him to come to get the cloth. And I took too long, so he vanished. And I got the cloth and everything, but I was like, well, crap, I just lost my co-op partner. And then the level after that, I played a little bit, and it's like the one where you're sliding through all the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through like a really actually cinematic part where it's like the sunset and it's a profile view of you, like your side. And then mm-hmm. I just see somebody like start speeding up and going past me. So then I caught up with him again, and then I went with through the whole game with this person, or what I thought was this one person. And at the very last level, when you're climbing the mountain, it was like I knew it was the last level, and I guess so did he. And it was kind of cool. He like stopped and just like let me go on my own. So it was like I started and finished the journey on my own, but had help in between. And then I came to find out after you watch the credits, it lists like all the people that you played with. I played with like seven different people, and I didn't even notice. I thought it was all the one guy.
Yeah. I don't know if I told my journey story, but like I had a similar experience where, the first person that I met was kind of an asshole, so I just let him go. Mm-hmm. And then I came across this guy, and we just started like going through the rest of the levels together, and we were having a really good time. We were just chirping the entire time. We were really happy. We get to the slide area where you're just sliding down, and we went at the same time, but there's a fork where you can go two separate ways. Mm-hmm. And he went one way and I went the other. And then whenever it met back up, I couldn't see him. And so I went down the rest of the slide and fell to the ground in that little pit area.
Mm-hmm.
And I just waited. Like, I just started chirping and waiting for him. And I waited for like a good 5 minutes. I was like, well, shit, like, what am I going to do?
Right. Yeah. You get that moment of like, well, I know what this game is with co-op, and it's like, well, now what do I do?
Because right, but I felt like I had formed a friendship with this guy, and we were having such fun on that slide.
Sure, yeah.
And so I went through the underwater section completely alone. That was really scary because I was so alone. Okay. I don't mean like really scary, but it was tense.
Because that is the moment where like hostile parts are actually introduced in the game too.
Right. And I get to this point where, like, I meet back up with another dude, and, you know, we're going up the mountain, and whenever we're about to reach the peak and, you know, you're really struggling,
mm-hmm.
he collapses and falls to the ground.
Yeah, that's a great moment in that game.
And you're just
I thought that was fantastic.
And you're just, no, get back up. Yeah, no, right. Get back up. And he wouldn't get back up, so I had to finish the journey alone. And at the very end section, I came up with another person, and I thought maybe it was the same guy, and it was.
Oh wait,
he
died at like early, or he fell earlier than you did.
Yeah, no. He fell and like disappeared, and I had to finish the game alone.
Oh, okay, because if you had played through, I don't know if this is, like, the way it actually is supposed to happen, but he fell, like, we were both walking, and he fell next to me, and then right after that, I took, like, two more steps, and I fell, too, and then that was what made me go to the last part of the game.
Like, he fell, and then I kept walking, and I walked for, like, well, I waited for him trying to get him up, and I couldn't get him up, so I walked a little bit further. Mm-hmm. And then I think I fell, I guess. But, I mean, like, I walked a good length. It was a length enough to make me, like, really miss that guy.
Okay.
And then
I gotta say, that entire, like, snow part of that game is fantastic the way they do the co-op.
Yeah.
Like, you are actually relying on each other.
Yeah, I really like that game.
And when I was introduced to, like, the enemies, the guy I was playing with, he got caught by one of the guys, and I didn't know what was going to happen, so I tried to run up and distract the guy. So we ended up both taking a hit, which is actually – the way it affects you is actually really devastating. It, like, cuts your scarf in half.
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, oh, crap, now – because I had a really long scarf, too. I had collected every bit that I saw. And I was like, crap, well, now I lost a whole bunch of progress, but I kind of feel better because he didn't lose it alone and I didn't leave him out to dry.
Right.
So just a really great game. That definitely, as somebody who loves co-op games, that pushed itself into my top five very quickly.
The game's really okay. Good. Anything else you're playing?
Far Cry 3, like I said, I'm trying to play through Walking Dead again because I hit that glitch. I'm trying to finish that up before we have the Game of the Year discussion because there will be spoilers talking about that game or talk about most games and
all games.
Yeah. I want to beat that game before I get anything spoiled for me.
Sure.
So I'm trying to think. Dust is a game that I think – like I was thinking about playing, but then I was like, all right, I would need more Microsoft points and – I don't need to spend any more money right now. Dust isn't going to win anything big, so it's not hugely important that I play it.
I don't know. Evan might have something to say about that.
No, we'll have something to say about it, but I mean, to think it would win over Journey or something like that for downloadable.
Sure.
Yeah, or even Walking Dead. I think that's stretching it a little bit. I get that it's probably a really good game, or at least a fun game, but right now, that's I don't have time to play that.
Are you on your Xbox right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Why?
No reason.
Just checking.
Yep.
Clint's turning on the Xbox to see if he's on Xbox Live. Ryan is running over to pull off the wireless cable.
I'm quickly changing my online status to offline. No, other than that, I bought tickets to see The Hobbit at midnight today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to go see that with a couple of friends who are coming home from college for whatever.
Sounds like that's all right.
Yeah, I hear. It seems like it's split down the middle for some people, and then other people are just like, yeah, it's a Peter Jackson movie.
I like Martin Sheen, so.
Hey, there's a question in questions that we might get to, but I feel like I have to say this. The Hobbit is not a long book. It doesn't need three movies.
It is 300 by pages. No means. Yeah.
It is a 300-page book that is getting three movies.
It doesn't need that.
No, not at all. Yeah. I get that he's adding in stuff.
Yeah, like, but I think it would have been
outside of The Hobbit, but still.
And especially, like, this first movie is, what, like 2 hours and some 30 minutes or whatever?
Almost 3 hours.
Almost 3 hours? Fuck.
10 minutes short of 3 hours.
What the hell, Peter?
I don't know what he's doing.
Money.
Hey, you know, it makes sense for The Lord of the Rings, obviously, because it's three books. And those are, you know, really intense books.
He made three-hour movies out of three books, which are longer than The Hobbit.
Yeah, and it's fine if you want to do a three-hour movie or two 90-minute movies or whatever for The Hobbit, but, you know.
Yeah, it's
I don't know about.
Is the voice of Smaug, so.
Yeah, that's true. He's also in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Is he?
Rumor is he's playing Khan.
I don't know Star Trek.
Apparently that's an evil guy.
Okay. Like Genghis Khan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Only Star Trek.
I just broke Star Trek lore. Did I?
No, you didn't.
I'm going to say something, and I'm probably going to sound like an idiot because I haven't seen anything Star Trek but the Star Trek movie, but I want to say that Khan was a Klingon. I think Klingon is
weirdest name for aliens.
Let's just say that he is, that we look like idiots.
Here, I'm going to look it up. Well,
But I mean, like, he looked human in the trailer, and the Klingons that they show in the special features of the Star Trek movie do not look human.
I knew a friend that knew some Klingon.
You knew a friend who knew some Klingon?
Yeah.
Oh, you knew a friend who knew some of the
Khan's genetically engineered superhuman tyrant who once controlled more than a quarter of the Earth during the eugenics war of the 1990s.
So he's Genghis Khan.
He's Genghis Khan in the 1990s and superhuman.
I don't think that actually existed in the 1990s. I don't want to. Gene Roddenberry, you might be stretching it a little bit. that show was like in the 60s or 70s or something. So of course.
Yeah. In 30 years, we're going to be.
They cryogenically frozen Genghis Khan and then brought him back in the 90s.
They cryogenically froze the whales and then they went back in time.
Is there anything else, Ryan?
I'm trying to think if I've seen any like movies or anything recently that I hadn't seen before, but no, I think that's pretty much it. Like I said, Far Cry 3, which we're going to talk about. I played more Scribblenauts Unlimited on the 3DS.
The game's fun. Mm-hmm.
Game is a lot of fun. That is actually a potential for a top 10 for me because you can do a lot of crazy stuff in that game that you probably shouldn't be able to do in a Nintendo game.
Well, it's not a Nintendo game.
Well, a game published by Nintendo, right? Is it published by Nintendo?
No.
But yeah, that's a crazy game.
Yeah.
Depending on how you play it, of course, but.
Right.
Yeah. No, pretty much. I think that's it.
Okay. So Evan gave me some stuff that he wants to read out of things that he's been doing. So let's go ahead and go through that.
Here's the stuff that I did that you can read on the podcast if you guys want.
Why is he gay?
What?
Why does that have to be a gay person's voice, Matthew?
We have some stuff for the podcast.
Persona 4 Golden. About 30 hours in. Loving the
this
new stuff.
Imagine Tenji sounding like in Persona 3.
Loving the new stuff where you get a motorcycle. It opens up more events. Locations that I was expecting.
Quinn, it's clearly like, I'm Evan.
I'll write a review by the end of the year, but it's not in my top 10 list for technical reasons.
There you go. Yeah.
It's better than any other game I play this year, in all honesty. Far Cry 3. Far Cry 3. I spent about 4 hours with it, and so far I really like it. I'm just going to read this normally now. Yeah. Sorry, Evan.
I'm sure he's so ashamed of you.
Evan just frowned his head and...
Frowned his head? How do you frown your head?
I don't know.
So he spent about 4 hours with Far Cry 3 and really likes it. The story stuff's huge bummer, and the hallucinations are way dumb. It's true. It looks amazing, though. True. And the systems and the ways in which they interact are fascinating. Also true. So far, I think most of the missions are pretty lame. That's sort of true. But interfacing with the game is so much fun on its own that it hardly matters. Totally true. Looking forward to playing more. Definitely true. The game's awesome. I also got a super long HDMI cable so I can play Far Cry on my TV through Steam's Big Picture mode. Having fun with that. I've also played around half of Dynamite Heady. Heady? Yeah. Through the Genesis collection I have on PC. The game's super crazy and fun and ahead of its time. Played about an hour more of Duke Nukem and tell Ryan he's a fucking idiot.
I know that I should not like that game as much as I do. I understand that there's something.
Okay, I'm gonna stand for Ryan. I'm gonna stand for Evan here. Yeah, you shouldn't. All right.
that was uncanny.
Thank you,
Ryan. You're a fucking idiot.
No, I know. I understand that. I'm not denying that that game is terrible.
Hey, remember that part where Duke Nukem got his dick blown by two girls while he was playing Duke Nukem Forever? That was really funny.
Remember that part where you go to Titty City and all of the ladies are topless?
That's so stupid.
Yeah,
you just play pool and other things like that.
So it's like Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, and also 4. The pool minigame is not any fun.
No, it's not.
Like Grand Theft Auto 4.
None of those minigames are any fun.
I forgot to say that I did. Well, not did, but I got an iPhone.
Cool.
I like my iPhone.
Yeah, it's a good device.
iOS is good because it's on one device when Android is on so many devices.
You're just upset you don't have a Windows phone. Yeah, Windows phone represents
Windows.
So basically because the OS is more of a closed system than an open system, you get a lot more well-rounded functionality?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, definitely.
Is the iPhone a closed system? I thought it was an open system.
No, it's a closed system. It's a very
closed
system.
Just publish your shit on there, right?
Yeah, but it's really closed. Like, Apple goes through everything. Like, Apple's locked a lot of things for a long time. They didn't let you change a whole bunch of stuff for a while, and now they're letting you.
Okay.
Like, it's slowly becoming a little bit broader, but it's still very closed. Like, they have an entire board that goes through all the apps, and it's like Xbox Live, but for their apps.
Okay, that's
and I gotta say,
not Steam anymore.
I gotta say, Twitter is like a whole new world when you have emojis that you can actually see.
Yeah, don't put those on. Don't do that shit.
No, I know.
Don't do it.
It's like I don't have any Apple products. This is my first Apple product, so this is the first time I could ever see an emoji. So I'm like, this is what's going on here.
Also, that term emoji, that's the dumbest thing. I hate
Best
I even
term
hate,
ever.
I even hate saying it. I'm still
what do you hate saying?
I'm still in Evan Tognati mode, by the way.
That term is actually the dumbest in the world. At Juilliard, we don't take this kind of shit.
Okay, so Evan also says that he got the new Skyrim DLC, which seems super interesting. Morrowind initially looks very Skyrim-y, but I haven't explored enough to say for certain. You know, I might just be in the snowy region. You get to keep your gear and companion, too. Main story thread could go either way in terms of quality, but there's a really interesting hook where the people of this town are in a trance, constantly chipping away at the stone in these monuments. More DLC on 360 equals even longer loads, which is a shame. Mm-hmm. Other than that, finalizing my game of the year list and anticipating / dreading our deliberations, there will be blood.
Oh man, those are going to be great. Movie. Do you want to explain? I don't know if we can explain the actual format we're
going to
do.
Yeah, we're going to do this really giant bomb format.
Is that how they do it? I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, it's basically how they do it. So what we're going to end up doing is we have a whole bunch of categories that we've already made, like just the categories, and we have a couple of nominees for each. Whenever we go to actually start like deliberating, we're going to have the ability to nominate something else on the spot, like right there. But right now we've got a couple of nominees in each category, so we're going to take a chunk of maybe like 3 to 5 categories, and we're going to deliberate on those for each podcast. We're probably going to have a total of 5 podcasts, with the last podcast being the actual Game of the Year deliberation and us ordering the Game of the Year. And these are all going to come out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever we announce that they're happening. It's going to be in a week or two.
Yeah.
So that's how we're doing Game of the Year stuff, and it's going to be awesome. We're also going to, or at least I'm going to make it a thing where whenever we put up the top 10 list, we're going to have that same thing that we did last year with a summary from a mm-hmm. person who really liked the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's how we're doing Game of the Year stuff. We're also going to be, while like on the same day that a podcast is going up, one of our top 10 lists is going up along with that podcast. So like, say for instance, on Monday, it'll be Matthew, because it's Matthew Mondays.
Oh, is that your fucking reasoning for that? God damn it.
Well, then we can have Evan.
I'm using my senior editor privileges to switch me with Ryan.
No, then, I reject that.
Then we could have Evan on Talk Naughty Tuesdays. So.
All right, never mind. We can keep it like that.
I also like how Clint didn't think far ahead enough to make it McGinley Mondays. Yeah.
Malusky Mondays sounds a little bit better, though.
Matthew Malusky Mondays.
Matthew Malusky Mondays.
Yeah, that's
alliteration.
Since my name starts with an R, you gotta give me Thursday, because that's how you abbreviate that.
And we'll this is just, I don't even know how it's gonna be ordered. Like seriously, could be, I'm first or you're first.
Or you're anyway, first or I'm first. The more
it's gonna be like one of our lists on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then on Friday it's going to be the final top 10 list along with the podcast. So you will be listening to us actually talk through Game of the Year. We don't even know what is going to be like. Game of the Year is the only category in which I have said no nominations, because that is going to be a thing that we are only going to nominate the winners from the categories. And if a game is someone's like
top,
like if they're just going to push it. If Evan's going to push Dust, like the what if hypothetical scenario, if Evan's going to push
We should just say Matthew Spec Ops the Line, since that's actually going to happen.
Fine. If Matthew's pushing Spec Ops the Line into Game of the Year territory, and what if it doesn't win any of these categories? If Matthew is super strong, then he can come up with his reasoning behind wanting it to be on the list, and if he can debate strongly enough, basically it's just going to be one big giant debate between
this whole week of podcasts is going to be madness.
It's going to be great, and we're going to have to bring back the Inception button to calm everything down. So that'll be great.
So if you want to hear me crying, you'll stay tuned.
Yep. And there are things that we have decided that we can't nominate, like Persona 4 Golden because it is a remake. So, yeah. But
can we, got... we can't nominate a Call of Duty Black Ops 2 then, right? Because it's the same game.
So we've got a whole bunch of categories ranging from, you know, the normal ones you'd expect, like platform specific and specific and story and stuff, and then we've got some fun ones too.
Funyuns.
So game of the year is gonna happen. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, Matthew, when are you gonna get Resident Evil 6?
I beat Final Fantasy 13-2, I will put that on top of my game 5 queue. So
just don't.
Probably sometime late December.
Just don't.
All right. Sounds all right. Good. We have a pact. We have to.
Just don't.
We have a pact.
No, we're doing it. Hey, and guys. We're going to play through Ada Wong's too.
Ada.
You guys can never
Ada.
Do.
They say her name. It's Ada.
Okay.
Ada.
It's something you guys can never do because you're not true Resident Evil fans.
Excuse me. I didn't unlock it because Evan skipped a chapter without me. Because I had to go to class, and so I couldn't unlock it, and Evan went through it alone before the co-op patch.
You could have gone through it again, beat that chapter. You're not a true Resident Evil fan.
No, I'm not.
You weren't qualified to review Resident Evil 6.
No, I'm not.
Neither was Evan.
No, well, yeah, he was.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, I was too. Fuck you, that game sucks.
You just don't like it because you don't like how the new direction of Resident Evil 6 is.
That's exactly
what. You don't like that the
it,
survival horror series is not survival horror anymore.
That's exactly that's why you don't what like it is. That's exactly what it is. So I did some things.
What like things what? Did you do, Clint?
I went and saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Was that family fun?
Okay. So it's a really weird thing because. Like my dad went out, traveling like for a work trip. And so, my mom was at home alone and she was like, let's go see a movie. And so we started trying to find a time that would work with both of our schedules. And the only movie that we could see was Wreck-It Ralph. She wasn't too pleased about that because it was about video games or so she thought. That is barely about video games. Well, it is a lot about video games, but there are barely, like, it's barely contextualized within, you know, video game conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But in that theater, there were 5 people, including us. 2 guys that were, like, probably late teens. And then 1 30-year-old dude with a goatee and a ponytail.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the normal that you'd expect.
Right.
What time was this?
6:30.
Okay, the normal 6:30 movie crowd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that movie's been out for a while. I really liked the opening short, Paper...
I hear that's a really good short.
Paper Man, I think it is. Paper Hearts? Paper Cut?
Paper Man. Paper Man is it.
Paper something. It's really it's good. Paperman. It's really good. The only thing is the characters look a lot like Goofy characters, like from the Goofy movie. That was a bit weird. Their noses were like extra weird.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
That was the only thing. But that story was cute. The movie itself was really funny at the start because there were a whole bunch of old video game jokes that apparently I was the only one in the theater that got.
Were you laughing out loud at him?
I was like, awkward. Okay. Well, yeah, because I was the only one in the theater, like, of 5 people, I was the only one in the theater laughing at the Tapper joke. The Tapper, like, after a hard day's work, they all go to the Tapper machine to have a few root beers.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, that movie, really well contextualizes the video game, like, arcade world and how the characters interact with each other. It's not like a Toy Story thing where they all hop out of the machines or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like Evan said a couple of podcasts ago, there are some plot points in there that you don't really think are going to get brought up that then get brought up and to really cool little twists. Like, there's some cool little twists in there, and the voice acting's great, the animation's fantastic, and I don't know, it seems like once the plot actually starts to get going, it changes from a movie about video games to Candyland the movie,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird.
I love candy.
It's kind of weird, but that candy looked really good, and I really wanted a cupcake afterward, but I didn't get one.
You don't have any, like, sweets.
So, Clint, would you recommend this movie to, say, somebody who doesn't have class on Monday?
Yeah.
And probably needs to kill some time?
Yeah.
That's oddly specific, Ryan McGinley.
Well, luckily, I don't have class on Monday and probably need
Whoa,
to kill some
what
time.
A surprise.
It's better than Brave.
That's, yeah.
The best kind of surprise is a surprise.
Hey, I went, like, sure, I went in thinking, what, like, this has got to be better than Brave. I mean, seriously, yeah. Brave just wasn't very good. But I came out, like that movie actually is better than Brave. Like, it does thing, like, Brave is a cut and dry, this is a movie, you know the ending as soon as the first act is
that is a Disney princess movie as
right
it could be,
and this movie actually like goes places and does things and you don't know what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. It's good that Pixar finally got back to the swing of things.
Ba-dum-tsh. Yeah. Oh right.
So Clint, you and I are both college students.
Yeah.
And it's semester's coming up.
Yeah.
How's it going for finals for you? Do you even have finals anymore at the point you're at?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm doing a very terrible thing that nobody should ever do. And because at the beginning of the semester I had to drop my classes because I changed majors and couldn't pick up any other classes, so I'm only in two classes. And I'm doing a very terrible thing where I'm only going to one of those classes because the other one's bullshit.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a history of technology class, and it's actually being taught as a philosophy of history or philosophy of technology class, and it's like there's nothing of value for me there, so I don't even fucking care.
Okay.
And so in my film class, I got a project that's due on Monday, mm-hmm. and that means that for the rest of the weekend, I gotta film and then edit that thing, which fucking bizarre.
Yeah,
we're doing this weird idea that we came up with randomly. We were sitting down and we actually couldn't come up with an idea, and we kept on throwing ideas at each other, and nothing was sticking. We couldn't find anything that
no Jack the Ripper.
No, fuck you. All right, that was his idea for the second.
No, I know. I was poking fun more at him than you.
We kept on throwing ideas back and forth and nothing was really sticking. Then we came up with this idea, like, what if we were sitting down trying to come up with an idea, and so we were throwing ideas at, like, what if it was we were throwing ideas at each other, and
like,
then like and then like showing no and then like showing the ideas, so like, what if the show was about this, and then it shows a little bit. And then somebody's like, no, that doesn't work. Okay, well, what kind of idea do you have? Well, I'm thinking this. And, like, throwing ideas back.
Your idea is acted out.
Right. And then I was like, that's fucking dumb. I came up with it, and I was like, that's fucking dumb.
They all liked it.
No, I'm only working with one other guy.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, dude, this is fucking dumb, but there's something there. And so we started workshopping it a little bit more, and I came up with this other idea of, like, what if, you know, we were sitting down thinking of an idea and then just building that idea throughout the narrative. And so, like, what I ended up writing is the most complicated and bizarre thing on paper that makes perfect sense in my head.
Okay.
And so, like, actually, even trying to describe it to him.
Does it involve a balloon?
No.
Okay.
Even involve a music box?
No.
Okay.
Even trying to describe it to him, I couldn't really come up with how to describe it to him. And
does it involve the Fez soundtrack?
No.
Okay.
And so, like, basically, it's just going back and forth into this subconscious reality. Let me try and... Okay, so they're sitting down. They're coming with an idea for a short film for their project. And it starts off simply enough with just, like, a dude talking to a dude. By the end of this short that we're making, by the end of the actual script, the characters have come up with this idea that the two friends from the beginning are actually two different personalities inside the same guy. Right. And he's slowly going fucking bizarre. But over the course of this, it changes from, like, just two friends to maybe it's a dude and a psychiatrist. And then what if, like, there was a lady involved? Okay, well, what if they were both ladies and yeah. stuff like that?
Are you going to wear some drag?
Yeah.
Oh. Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Are you going to put this on YouTube? Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no problems. Like, dude, you can look on my Facebook page. There are pictures
of
me.
Yeah, I've seen it.
In a dress.
Yes.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple, actually.
I can't erase that image from my head.
Does he look good, Matthew?
Yeah, it did.
No. Not even.
There was one contest where there were, I think, five guys who had to dress in drag, and we had this beauty contest for the five guys. It was at some theater thing, so it makes sense in that context. It doesn't make sense if it's just a bunch of dudes dressing up.
Yeah.
Let's have our own fun contest.
It's like, look, we can either play strip Call of Duty or we can see who looks good, who looks best in that dress.
Feeling. Yeah.
So
I've been in that situation before.
So, and then another one, I was actually in a show that I directed and had to star in where – I was a dude playing a girl playing a dude. No, that's not how it went. Anyway, I had to pretend that I was female in order to con money out of other people. It's really hard to direct and star in a show that you're doing. Mm-hmm. No, I was not a prostitute.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
You remember, like, a couple months ago where I said, yo, I'm going to finish all the numbered Metal Gear Solid games by December 31st, 2012?
Yeah.
Did it?
I remembered and then promptly did that in less than 4 days.
Good on ya.
Especially because like Metal Gear Solid 4.
That's awesome.
What, the hour-long...
Yeah,
but like
the final moments. Once you get onto the last area.
Oh, okay. So you're actually talking about the final level, not the epilogue itself.
Yeah, no, like the entire last like 2 hours of gameplay.
I really liked it. I really liked it.
Yeah, that microwave thing.
Especially the last boss fight.
The last boss fight is where you inject each other.
The last boss fight might be. One of the best boss fights in video games.
Yeah, it is.
Just so how absolutely insane it is. You're basically punching someone through time.
Yeah, and then you both get sick, and then you both heal each other.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That's my favorite part of that, and you just see the life bars go back up.
Yeah. So...
Now... Let's take this one by one. You played one a while ago, didn't you?
I played one about a year and a half ago.
Okay. And then you hadn't touched it since and you jumped straight to two, correct?
Right. Okay. It might have been 2 years ago. And then I jumped into two about 4 months ago.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
How'd you like two?
I like two. I like two a lot.
Would you give it on 1 to 10?
How about I give it on 1 to 5, motherfucker?
Yeah, boom.
1 to 5, sorry.
Give it the time.
Probably a 4.
Just not like in its day. Like
right now? A 4?
Right now. Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good game.
Okay, 3?
3? I'd also give a 4.
And then 4?
5?
Okay.
It's the best out of all of them. It goes 4, 3, 2, 1. That's best to worst. There is no other order.
No, I completely agree, but my favorite is still 3.
You're weird.
I don't know. Maybe it was just like a time and place thing. But I really like
3 in a lot of the way. I was going to say it was the weirdest, but then I'm like, I don't know if I can really say that.
4 is fucking weird.
4 does get weird. Like
the best part is the helicopter scene.
The helicopter
scene? Bang, 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 bang.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Revolver Ocelot, and he's just doing the hand singles.
Yes. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Man, that's the end of like Act 2, I think.
Yeah.
Man, that was fucking great. That's like constantly in that game. I was like, without in all the other Metal Gear games, there never was this sense of urgency or that Solid Snake wouldn't complete the mission. In 4, I was constantly under this threat of, how the fuck is he going to beat this thing?
Yeah, it's like
remember when you play Metal Gear Solid 1 for a little bit?
The bad guy basically becomes a god in Metal Gear Solid 4. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
How does Kojima think of that stuff?
By being awesome.
Lots of drugs.
I don't think it's drugs. I think it's just awesome. Like none of the stuff in Metal Gear games are ever as crazy as people say they are after the fact. Like
they sort of are when you just say them.
They're more like weird.
They're
it's like in the sense that like, you know, Breaking Bad started out like normal, and then by season 5 they're using super magnets as one of the plot points. So like
No, it's not even that. Is it any weirder than any other like video game fiction? Like it's not really that crazy when put into this world where crazy things happen. Like, by this point, you know, crazy things happen in the Metal Gear universe. So, of course, it's going to be kind of crazy. And, like, while those things are really, really cool, it's never as crazy as people always said that it was.
Well, it's not like they come out of nowhere, but they're still crazy.
They're crazy. Yes, they
like
are. It's bizarre. It's a bizarre game, but within the context of the universe, none of those things seem out of place.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Like you could say the same thing for Asura's Wrath. You're doing some weird, insane stuff in that game.
Right, and in the context we're going to have a lot to say.
I just punched the guy in the face and created the universe.
What the fuck? You punch someone so hard in the goddamn face, you create the universe.
Asura's Wrath DLC is my game of the year.
Yeah.
Can we include that DLC in our discussion of, like,
yes.
Does that count towards that whole game?
Yes. Yeah. Good. Of course it does. Why wouldn't it?
Because once you play that DLC, nothing else in that game is as good as what happens in that DLC.
I don't know. There are a lot of really crazy things. Like, remember the time whenever the sword was, like, super long and it stabbed through the entire earth?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Or whenever the giant sumo wrestler used his finger to try and kill you, and it was as big as the goddamn moon.
So hard and so many times that he fell apart.
Yeah.
There's
some crazy shit, dude.
No, I know. But I mean,
remember the
punching God in the face is pretty crazy.
Remember the sauna scene?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and you have to like find the people that are like peeking.
Yeah.
For that achievement. That
made me feel weird.
Man, and that game looks great. And then they're all robots.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Yeah, they're robot gods.
Why not?
They are.
And then Asura fights the one cool dude with no arms.
Yeah, the no arm fight. I mean, seriously.
No arm
fight. That game is crazier than Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh, yes.
What's the craziest
game we can find? Okay, that's crazier than any other game.
The Screaming Mantis fight was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because you said you really liked the Praying Mantis, or
Psycho
the
Mantis.
Fight. And I was like, you're going to really like a fight in 4. That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, especially the payoff whenever you see Psycho Mantis at the end of that.
Yeah.
Yes, Rumble.
And it's the actual like PS1 polygon in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's
great.
The game's real good.
I have a gameplay question from Metal Gear Solid 4. When you defeat the first boss, the octopus girl, the laughing octopus, I think she's called, you get a mask that lets your camo blend in all the way. Did you ever use that?
No. Okay. I never needed it.
All right.
I did sometimes. I mean,
it does help more, but it stays on in cutscenes.
Yeah, I never needed it, and I completely forgot that the camo system existed because the camo automatically changed.
Yeah, which is really cool. And then you could save certain camo, so like if you lay down on this really like tacky floor tile,
yeah,
you can save that camo and then run around in it in the rest of the game.
I was in this really intense cutscene, and I had this like red checker pattern on my suit. It was really funny. Yeah, that game's a lot of fun. That series is really cool. Consider me a fan.
Revengeance. Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't Raiden awesome?
Yeah. The first cutscene where it shows up, it was really cool.
And then the microwave scene where he's doing the thing while you're doing the thing is pretty cool too.
Yeah, but I didn't like the split screen boss fight because you're fighting all of the geckos you're fighting the geckos and you can't pay attention to this awesome boss battle that's like this really cool cutscene going out on the right side of the screen because you have to take care of every single one of these geckos that if they get close. You're dead. You're done. It's over. And I had to restart that. That was the only time that I had to restart that game, like, three different times because that boss fight was kind of ridiculous.
No,
I like that fight.
No, I like it in concept. I didn't like that I was constantly doing something and couldn't look at the cutscene.
Right.
That's the only thing.
I think that was sort of like... it's ridiculous that you as the player are literally shooting hundreds of Metal Gears, or not hundreds, but like, you know, dozens. And then like, on the other hand, there's like something even crazier happening to your left. And you're like,
oh. No, yeah, that.
I want to see that.
Wanting
crazy
to watch
thing.
That.
Yeah, I really want to watch that.
To.
Yeah, I get it.
So then I played that Far Cry 3 game.
Let's talk about some Far Cry 3.
And then I wrote a review of that Far Cry 3 game.
You really like that Far Cry 3 game?
I love that Far Cry 3 game.
Except for?
The story.
Yeah, that story's not too great.
Okay, so the reason why I gave it a 4 out of 5 instead of a 5 out of 5 are three main reasons. First of all, there are two modes in that game that are completely bad. Mm-hmm. The multiplayer and the co-op. The multiplayer has some really, like, iffy hit detection, and, like, it's just uninspired. It tries to be everything that it's not, and it doesn't do anything to stand out from the crowd. The co-op is sort of like Left 4 Dead, only lacking any of the fun of Left 4 Dead, where you're going through these very linear, tight corridor levels, trying to shoot a whole bunch of dudes. And in between these levels, you get these cutscenes of these four really terribly acted people who you just kind of despise, who were together for absolutely no reason, who just really like to kill people. Like, it doesn't really need to be there. And,
no.
Like, the best part of Far Cry 3 is taking things out in this open environment, and you don't get any of that in this claustrophobic tight corridor. Mm-hmm. And then the third pillar of why it lost a star is the story, which starts off fan-fucking-tastically. Mm-hmm. You are introduced to this menacing, evil, frightening, and just downright crazy motherfucker called Voss, and he is just someone that you automatically hate because of how goddamn awesome he is. Best actor in that game and best character moments in that game come from Voss. But the problem is Voss is really underused, and the main plot points of that the game establishes from that very first cutscene are wrapped up a little way too soon. And
yeah,
then
I would say that for a lot of the characters. Like, it seems like most good characters that they introduce,
they're just tossed aside.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you spent like a couple hours with this person. If that, don't worry about him anymore.
So the main plot that game's like, you want to save your friends, get off the island, maybe kill and take down this slave trading ring a little along the way. And then you meet these Rajak warriors who give you the power of the Tatao.
The Tatao.
The Tatao will give you the power. The Tatao is how you, like, level up and stuff. Every time you level up, you get a new
path. You have to follow the path with the
Tatao.
Follow
the path of the Tatao. And you the Tatao is really cool. And it's magical. So there's this whole mystical drug-induced hallucination element that is really, really uninspired and really hokey and just kind of trite.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really need to be there, and it really lessens the impact of a lot of the cooler moments in the game. And then there are these times where like, you're talking to somebody, and then the cutscene ends, and they walk away behind you. You take control of them, you turn around, and then Jason will say something like, Jason Brody, the character that you're playing as, will say something like, oh, where did they go? Like maybe he's hallucinating or something. That goes fucking nowhere. They're just dudes that just disappear.
Mm-hmm. And it makes you even think more of that, because every time, like, a major plot point happens and then there's a loading screen, they'll start using Alice in Wonderland quotes.
Yeah, and these... Okay, don't even get me started, because Alice in Wonderland quotes are dumb, and they're kind of almost misused in those sections. And
But it, like, tries to lead you to believe that there's going to be something more going on.
Yeah, there's some crazy... There's some crazy Lewis S. Carroll shit coming down the way.
Yeah, pretty much. No, just you and Alice were both on drugs. That's all.
But it's also is it just me, or is it really weird that two Ubisoft games came out within like 2 months of each other, both start with the exact same quote?
What's that?
Assassin's Creed 3 and Far Cry 3 both start with, and then Alice went down the hole, never wondering if she would, wondering if she could get back or something like that. I don't know the exact
line. I forgot
time.
Assassin's Creed 3 starts with that.
It doesn't make fucking any sense in Assassin's Creed 3.
Ubisoft is just going to try to, like, they're like that person who keeps it's trying to use this word until it actually fits in context.
But it kind of fits within, like, there are moments, there are these really cool moments where you start to guess Jason's sanity, and there is a little bit of a payoff at the end, but it never goes far enough. It only goes as far as is expected.
And I think that comes from having some certain characters tossed aside so quickly, because those certain characters are the ones that provoke this insanity type mindset.
Yeah, and also, by the way, Jason's friends are absolute fucking dicks.
But here's my problem with Jason. Great, the opening, it sets him up to be this character that you're gonna hate, and it does it well for the first couple hours.
I don't even think that Jason's really the problem. Like, I get where you're going at. Like, Jason starts out this really scared kid who doesn't know how to kill people, and then suddenly he's blowing shit up and lighting forest on fire.
It's not even that for me. It's more like, all right, you're setting up this person who's just a bad person in general. They're all trust fund kids who are just horrible people. But what happens to Jason is, like, he almost goes a little too self-righteous, and
right.
Like, he gets to, like, instead of me hating him because Ubisoft made this kid that most people would hate in real life, it's just this, like, this character that I don't like fundamentally, as, like, from a character standpoint at all. He just is not even fun to like hate anymore.
So there are certain times where like Jason becomes more of a hero character who realizes what his life was before isn't what he needs to be. He finally understands like a purpose or something, and like those moments are cool, but they never go far enough. Once again, everything that is cool about this game, or from the story standpoint, never goes far enough. And there's a scene towards the end that's really interesting from Jason's standpoint, and really puts into perspective like how far he's come, and how kind of crazy this island has warped him. But it just never goes far enough. So you're totally right. You're never given enough to either like or dislike this character. He is really more of an embodiment for the player to just do things, who says things sometimes.
Like at this point, like in the very beginning of the game, you're introduced to one of Jason's brothers, who's actually pretty cool. At this point, I feel like the way they made Jason would be more suited and would be better in his brother.
Well, sure. Anyway, so like the friends that you have, total dicks, but you really get to see them like get their own.
I feel kind of bad for one of the dudes.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like that was the part where it's like, all right, finally there's something here, because I hated this guy, and now, all right, sure, I can understand where he's coming from. But that blonde kid, Ollie, I want to fucking smack him across.
Ollie's just the worst.
Oh man, you just want to punch him in the goddamn jaw every single time he opens his fucking mouth.
Yep.
He's such a that's the best. That's the best. It's the best that he's the worst. Also, yeah. I don't think that you're given enough time with your girlfriend Lisa to build that relationship. But the moments that you have with her, she's a really good voice actress. She does a really good job trying to calm Jason down off of this ledge of insanity. But again, it just doesn't go far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not convinced that he's insane enough that he needs to be brought down more.
You're also not convinced of their relationship. At least I wasn't.
I actually had to look up at one point, is this actually his girlfriend or is it just his friend?
There was a moment where like I actually felt more of a connection to the blonde girl that I forget her name now. But
Daisy?
Daisy. I felt more of a connection to her, and she was my brother's girlfriend. So, I mean, like that's...
Maybe something's going on the side there. But
yeah, but anyway, there's this one part of the game that is totally not explained, and you could totally miss it. And I think it's one of the best parts of the game.
Have I passed that yet?
No. Whenever you go to... How many of the friends have you saved? How many friends do you have?
I am on the second island. I've saved all of my friends.
Okay. So if you haven't done this yet, you can still probably go back and do it. But...
The berry thing?
The berry thing.
I thought that was actually really cool.
Okay. So there are these berries that if you eat them, you go on this drug-induced hallucination that sends you back before you reach the island. And you get to learn more about how fucking douchey all these characters are and how their douchey dumbass decisions got them to where they are in the game proper. And it also includes a really awesome dance minigame.
That was pretty awesome.
So those scenes were really cool. I almost wish there was more of the, like,
yeah, I felt like after, because I think there's only like three of them.
There are only three of them, yeah.
I wanted there to be a couple more of them.
Yeah, me too. And I don't know, man, it just really sucks that a character like Voss or Citra isn't used as effectively, and then they bring in this other character called Hoyt, who never really lives up to the potential that they try to give him in the story. Anyway, the story not fucking important because the game's fucking awesome.
It's insane.
It's so much fun.
Oh, it's great.
Okay, so you've got hunting, you got these outposts, you got like hunting exclusive missions and like these wanted missions where you go sneak in and try and knife a dude. Like there's a whole bunch of awesome content to explore that easily takes up the vast majority of your time. I
mean, there, and just how you're getting around this amazing island too. You have so many ways. You have different cars. I find myself mostly hiking it on foot, actually. I don't know if it's because like in a game like this, I'm used to Skyrim where I'm on foot.
I took cars. Like here's how I would get places. I would set a waypoint, get into a car, drive it straight towards the waypoint until I either crashed or jumped in the water or just couldn't move any further. I would get out, hoof it on foot. If I saw a hand glider or something, I would take that and I would just fucking book it.
And then at the point I actually just reached in the game, you get basically a portable hand glider.
The sky suit, yeah. It's basically like one of those squirrel hand glider suits. So basically, if you jump off any ledge like that is more than 6 feet, then you can trigger that thing and you can just book it.
Mm-hmm.
So start using it like that, and then pull the chute at the last second so you don't hit the ground at the speed that you're going in the hand glider. Mm-hmm. And dude, it is just so much fun.
And the way the vehicles control is just so much fun.
Yeah, because they're just squirrely enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on these dirt roads, you're not going to have the best control, so fuck it, just go off-road, just wreck it into a tree, and move on.
Now, one problem I do have with that, though, is there are missions, like side missions, that I haven't run across any that are, like, actual critical path missions yet that have this, but that involve you getting from point A to point B as fast as you can.
There's one of those. And one or two, and you've got plenty of time.
Yeah, in the main story, I've come across points where I've like come across with minutes to spare, but there are specific mini games that get you down to like the very last couple seconds,
right?
Which can be a little bit more rough.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about the health pack ones,
the
like,
supply drop missions, whatever they're called, where you always have the ATV?
Yeah. But those are supposed to be like down to the wire things.
Yeah, no, I know, but it would be a little bit better like if down to the wire wasn't so hard because it's so squirrely and you might.
I never had run a off problem on the path. With it, but you know what I mean,
maybe I'm just bad at controlling the cars.
You're probably just bad at the controlling the cars. Yeah. So you've got a whole bunch of different weapons at your disposal. You can add all these attachments to them. If you go up radio towers, there are like 18 different really unique jumping style platforming puzzles to get up to the top of these radio towers. It's like Assassin's Creed where you get to the top of the radio tower and then you can like open up a section of the map so you can see all the things that you can do there. And then just zip line down off of it, which is a great feeling. So basically what I ended up doing was going to the top of a nearby radio tower, triggering that, seeing that there are two outposts next to the radio tower, going after the nearest one and then the next nearest one, and then continuing on my path. Like if there was a story mission along the way, I would do everything in my path to get to that story mission. I wouldn't just fast travel directly to the story mission.
Right.
Because everything about that game that isn't directly related to the story is the best part of that game, which sounds like the worst thing in the world, but I mean, just seriously, the baseline mechanic, the shooting, there's actually a cover system in the game if you actually pay attention to it, to where like if you're next to a wall and you pull the left trigger to go into iron sights, it automatically ducks you to the left, right, or over the top depending on how tall the wall is or where you are in relation to the edges of the wall.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's really and enemies can't see you whenever you're ducking around a corner. And it's really useful.
I gotta say,
though,
one of my favorite parts of this entire game is the way the world just interacts with itself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. So you could come across random things like a bear jumping into a pack of boars and just slaughtering all of them as in the middle of you trying to hunt those boars. And
no, then you have to take favorite, down the bear. One of my favorite parts of the game that just made me laugh hysterically was I was going to a outpost and I was like, all right, this one's pretty far away. I'm going to grab a car. And I just come off a radio tower, so I ziplined down to this area where there was a car near me, but two guards were standing there. Mm. I was like, all right, I'm going to tag these guys with my camera, because that's one of the, like it's the crisis type tagging system.
Yeah, yeah. So basically you tag, like you pull out a camera, and any enemy that you hover over, you don't have to click any kind of button or anything. It just automatically tags them with what kind of enemy they are. Whether they're like, if it's an animal, it'll tell you whether it's a predator or just docile.
And then you can see them through surfaces if they start to walk away.
Right. So you're always aware of them.
I attacked these two guys and I was like, all right, how am I going to take these guys out quickly enough? And while I was doing that, I hear this tiger start coming up behind me.
Yeah.
This deer comes up and runs past me and a tiger is following this deer. And I was in the bushes so they didn't see me. And then the deer runs right up to the guys who were at the car, and then the tiger follows, and the tiger stops chasing the deer,
and goes after
mauls
the dudes.
Both of the guys,
yeah.
And then just keeps chasing the deer. So yeah. Then I just get the car and go.
There was this one moment, and I think I tweeted, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And
there's a lot of those moments in this game.
And what had happened was I shot a guy and his Molotov dropped and it burned everyone else in the camp. And then the fire kept spreading. It just completely decimated this entire area. And then as soon as the fire calms down, a bear comes in and mauls me. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know. And then the bear caught on fire.
The best moments are when, like, you're plotting out how you're going to take down a base or something, and a bear or a cougar comes up and mauls you.
Yeah.
And then you're forced into this, like, quick time event that's, like, really jolty and freaks you out. Or I was actually in the ocean one time.
And then a shark caught you?
Well.
Alligator?
I wasn't aware that it was a shark area. So yeah. I was just, like, swimming around. I was trying to get this achievement where you dive 60 meters down. So I was like, oh, I'll do it here. So then I, like, dive down. I'm like, all right, this isn't far enough. Let me get back in the boat and I'll go somewhere else. I go back up to the surface and I'm swimming towards my boat. And out of nowhere, it actually made me jump. And I kind of did a little, like, scream. Just a shark just came up and bit my arm and swam away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happened to me with an alligator. Like all of a sudden, without any warning whatsoever, I was in that QuickTime event with the alligator, and I was like, "Whoa, oh God, I don't know what I'm doing."
At the end of one of the missions, you're kind of forced to jump into a river because you're exploding a building behind you.
Yeah,
and as soon as I jump into the river, I saw it when I was in midair too. I just jumped straight into the jaws of a crocodile. It was pretty awesome.
There are also these cages in these outposts. So, like, you can basically what I end up doing at these outposts is walking around them and trying to tag every single enemy that's there. So I always are aware of where they are within the outpost level. And I'll always try to search for these cages because they normally have a predator animal that will immediately start attacking anyone in the outpost.
Like an emu.
Like an emu. Most of the time they were tigers. Sometimes they were dingoes. But if you got a tiger, good. You're solid. So what I ended up doing is getting, like, I was up on a hill and I would take out my silenced assault rifle and I would shoot the front door of the cage to where the animal would pop out and just start attacking everybody. And then you just watch it happen and all of a sudden it's like, all right, cool. Outpost unlocked.
But then you have to worry about the tiger that's walking around under the outpost too.
That's not a problem. They've damaged it enough. You just load one clip into it and it's dead.
But
that game's great.
It's so much fun.
Oh man, and
it looks so pretty.
It looks great. It's fucking beautiful. Just the draw distance, the amount of foliage. I don't know how plentiful the foliage is on the 360 version, but
it's pretty plentiful. You'll like driving along like alongside a regular road, like you'll get a good amount of bushes and trees along the sides of the roads, but then you'll come across like full-fledged forests and jungles and stuff like that too.
Right. Okay. Oh, on the PC version, dude. Okay. I don't know. I haven't played the 360 version. I've heard that the frame rate isn't the best.
Yeah. The problem with the frame rate is it's actually not bad. Like, there's nothing, like, no matter how much chaos you're causing, nothing that you're doing in game is really going to drop it. It's weird though. It comes across in cutscenes. You notice it a lot more. Is that the frame rate drops, and then some people, when they're speaking to you, their mouths will hitch, and it'll be almost just like a different, like, pictures of their mouths moving, kind of right. like a South Park-esque, like just different yeah. poses without any motion in between.
Yeah,
which is weird. But nothing has ever come across like either frame rate or that cutscene issue that made me think this game would be like if I played the game on the PC and then came to this, it'd probably be like, oh man, this looks awful.
Yeah.
But playing this game on the 360, I think it looks great. I still think it looks great.
But I would say, like, if you have a PC that can run Far Cry 3 at like recommended settings, I'd say that would be the way to go, because 100% of the time, no matter what was going on, no matter how many enemies were on screen, no matter if I was like, if there was a forest on fire on one half of the screen, explosions on the other, and like an army of dudes in the middle, or if I was in the middle of a cutscene or one of those hallucination things, like, it was a constant 60 all the way through. And
yeah.
that is like, I can't get enough of how great it is to have a constant 60 frames per second. And just getting off of Assassin's Creed 3, like yeah. that is the best fucking feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great. And I can't say enough great things about Far Cry 3, but there are also like some really,
yeah, it makes its own flaws for itself, it almost seems.
But the great thing is, whenever it comes down to gameplay or anything that revolves around, like, I didn't run into any kind of bugs whatsoever that caused the game to function in a way that it didn't seem like it was supposed to.
Yeah, I've come across, like, your standard, like, open world bugs. But they've been, like, the funny ones that kind of make you, remind you, oh, this is a video game, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it'll be like some guy's trying to slide into cover, and his character model will actually like fly 10 feet in the air and just go straight clean over the cover and keep sliding. Stuff like that. Nothing game breaking or anything. I've only had that stuff like that happen like 2 or 3 times. And it's just funny when it happens to me, especially right. in an open world game like this.
Right. I just gotta say, man. Okay. So the last outpost that I did, in order to finish the outposts and 100% the outpost part of the game, I decided, fuck it, I'm going with a flamethrower and Molotov cocktails.
Oh, was that the picture you posted?
And that's it, yeah. And and so there was nothing left at the end of this. Basically, what I ended up doing was starting a fire at the edge of the camp, and then all the guards were like, oh God, it's a fire! And then I started chunking Molotovs at the other end of the camp. And so they were basically circled in flames. And then I jumped through the fire and just started burning everybody. And it was the best. Oh my God. God, it's so...
That game has a great progression rate, and it does very well in making you feel like you're very powerful
yeah.
when you need to.
Because of the power of the Tatao.
The Tatao, man!
Yeah.
So, I think we've talked about Far Cry 3 enough, though.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about it probably more come Game of the Year discussions.
Basically, you can end up leveling up, like, the entire skill tree. It doesn't cap itself. I have all the skills now. And I just finished all the outposts and most of the path of the hunter quests. I'm going to keep playing that game because it's so much fun. And
yeah. Like you said, like, story has its problems. Missions may not be the best structured.
No.
But no matter what you're doing, you're going to be having fun while
but
doing
it. But that awesome dubstep music cue and the pot level, that was pretty cool.
That may be one of my favorite moments of this game so far, like scripted moments.
Yeah, that's going to be your favorite moment of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
The final mission of that game is pretty cool. But the mission right before that is a turret sequence. A overly long turret sequence.
Ooh, the best kind of turret sequences.
Yeah. Actually, it's a two-part turret sequence where you're driving for the first part, and then the second part, you're shooting.
Oh, great.
And the shooting part is longer than the driving part.
Oh,
a
great.
A lot longer than the driving part. You end up killing, like, 20 helicopters. Oh, right! And then there's a scene, there's this mission, like, right after that or something. No. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm completely wrong. The mission right before the final mission is the best mission, is another good mission because it's so low key. But the mission right after that is the one that I was thinking of with the timer. And then at the end, okay, you know how great the music cue is for the pot level?
Uh-huh.
There is an equally horrendous and fucking stupid one in the last mission. It is the worst musical cue I have ever seen in a video game. No, I'm not fucking kidding you. It's terrible.
Gotcha.
It is bad. I'm gonna tell you whenever we go to break, I'm gonna tell you exactly what music cue pops up, and you're gonna fucking hate it.
Okay. All right, well, speaking of which, do you want to throw it a break, come back with some news and VGA talk?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Hey, you guys, guess what?
What?
It's time for the news.
News!
I'm awake now.
News.
Matthew fell asleep during Far Cry 3, top story.
He's fired now.
Matthew fell asleep while we were talking about Far Cry 3. Shows how great that game is.
I remember Lewis Carroll quotes, and then I passed out.
Lewis Carroll quotes. Story. Former BioWare producer Trent Oster says there was a project that was Bond meets Bourne RPG.
Alpha Protocol?
Yeah. According to Oster, the concept of the game was to do the other half of GoldenEye. You know, the half that was spy parts and not shooting half. Parts.
I the idea of it being GoldenEye and it just subtitle the other half.
I think
the other half lives.
I think that's how a James Bond game needs to go. Like go more spy and less shooty.
Well, yeah, because I mean we could probably follow it up with another news story that relates much to that.
Quote, we really wanted it to be high drama, very intense scenes. I always think the scene in the second Bourne movie where Jason Bourne is choking a guy out with a book and he's right in his face. It's a very intense moment. That was a key thing we wanted to carry off. Ultimately, he said the project was short-lived because, quote, EA didn't believe in the idea.
Aw.
And if the company's not behind it, it doesn't matter how hard you struggle, you just can't make it happen.
Nope.
I'd really like a Bond meets Bourne RPG that isn't Alpha Protocol. Just putting that out there.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah, well, that like I said, that relates to the most recent Bond game, 007 Legends. Is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah. Didn't they shut down that studio?
Yeah. What was the name of the studio? Eurocom.
Eurogame,
They were shut down because they were basically... Activision has forced them into being just a licensed developer for Bond games, pretty much.
Right. Yeah.
And like Clint said, Bond needs to move away from the action, but they weren't able to, so they were forced into making subpar, basically, Bond games.
Right, right. Subpar Bond games that use the fucking Call of Duty engine.
And it is literally Call of Duty, but playing through James Bond scenarios in movies that were spy scenarios. That they're trying to make into action scenarios.
Activision and needs to like structure itself in a way that we're like, they have the money to take risks, they just refuse to.
Because yeah, it's a shame.
So they should take something like the bond license and take a risk, because they have like nobody's buying a bond game right now. Okay, let's fucking risk it. It's not gonna like it is pocket money for us.
Right. And I mean, it's not like they're going to lose a bunch of money. Some people are still going to buy it, especially if it's a different type of bond game.
Yeah.
More people would probably be interested in that.
I'll buy it.
Activision doesn't really have a lot of studios doing interesting things right now, except High Moon.
Well, no, they're all like building Call of Duty maps. That's interesting, right?
No, but
I was just saying, like, Fall of Cybertron is like the closest I played to like a fresh Activision game, and it was... It wasn't even super fresh. It was just, you know,
a bunch of pretty good
gameplay styles.
Remember Neversoft?
Yes.
I remember Neversoft.
Those were
the place
guys
that made good Tony Hawk games.
Yeah, now they're making Call of Duty maps.
Yep.
So
Eurocom, they were nice enough about it. They bowed out quietly and just said that sales in the PC and console areas have been dipping since 2008, and Activision needed to sever some contracts, and they were on the cutting block.
What does Activision have left?
Call of Duty, Tony Hawk,
Guitar Hero,
Tony Hawk Shred.
They have a couple licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And they have also got Blizzard, which is just fucking printing them.
Yeah,
money.
I mean, Activision is never going to run out of money, because when they do, they're going to end up finding another formula that works and just keep making that until that dies.
Hey, you know what? That's fine. Those first, like, two or three Call of Duty games in this, like, past Modern Warfare 4, or Modern Warfare, the first Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, those were pretty good.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. But I'm just saying, like, they could afford it to pick up some more licenses, let their developers do a little bit more than just...
Totally.
Making these licensed games.
Totally, but they're not going to, so stop trying.
Because it's an industry. It's not about making consumers happy. It's about making money.
Speaking of spies, because we were talking about...
Yeah, I got you.
Totally spies.
Totally party.
Funky Barbie party.
So, New Regency will produce the film adaptation of the Splinter Cell franchise.
Sure. Didn't somebody already sign on for that?
Dude, this thing's been on and off since Chaos Theory was announced.
No, but I thought, like, recently there was a news story about somebody signing off for that game. I mean, signing off for that movie.
I don't know. No, there was a whole Assassin's Creed. They're getting, like, Michael Fassbender to do
Assassin's Creed. That's what I'm thinking of then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was previously announced that Tom Hardy will be playing Sam Fisher.
Tom Hardy doesn't have to play everything now.
Is he going to wear a mask?
Well, hopefully.
He's talking to Bane voice the entire time.
They should just get...
He plays a lot of shit now. Not necessarily shit.
Not really.
Just
Christopher Nolan stuff, pretty much.
No, he's done like two or three other movies, I think, since The Dark Knight Rises.
So basically, Michael Fassbender, is that... That's not the...
Fassbender.
Yeah.
Fassbender. What did I say before? Did I say Fassbender?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
You were
okay.
Fine.
Okay. Whew. I thought I said something completely different.
He's going to write us an angry email about how he messed up his last name.
No. I thought I was thinking of a completely different Michael dude. Like, I thought I said something totally different than Michael Fassbender.
Could you imagine Michael Caine being
I could.
Sam Fisher?
I could.
That'd be the best movie ever.
Yeah. So, I don't think that any of these Ubisoft movies are ever going to actually get made.
Nope.
That's probably right.
There's that God of War movie that the guy from Amistad signed on for.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No. I remember I was sitting in a movie theater a long time ago. I forget what movie I was seeing. It might have been like the fifth Harry Potter movie. And I was going with this one girl, and I was excited because this was like first time I was going out with this girl. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. And then remember Percy Jackson movie?
Uh-huh.
There was a trailer for that, but the trailer was
In an elevator?
He was in the elevator, and he pressed a button that had the little Omega symbol on it. And I remembered hearing recently to me seeing that the God of War movie was like, this guy signed on for it and everything. And I was like, oh, man, this is a God of War trailer. And I was like getting all excited, and it was just Percy Jackson. And I was like, ah, crap.
Liam Neeson.
Would you expect Percy Jackson to become the God of War? I don't.
No, I didn't know. I had no idea what Percy Jackson even was at that point.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was like, oh, look at that Omega symbol. It must be God of War because that's the only Greek thing to have ever existed.
Sure. Percy Jackson was a dumb movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So I hear.
They messed that book up.
Hey, you guys.
What?
What?
Time Magazine has a top 10 list of games of the year. Would you like to
hear it? Number one, Alan Wake.
Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Not really, but good.
I do, actually.
Let's start with number 10, and we'll work our way up to number
one. Let's jump around. 10, 7, 3, 4, 9.
Okay, I'm going to start with 10. All
right.
Yeah.
Torchlight 2. Okay. Give him a little bit of cred. It's a not too well-known title in the... outside of the gaming realm. Number 9, Halo 4. Number 8, the Vita version of Little Big Planet.
Okay.
Number 7, The Last Story.
Oh.
Number 6, Papo Yo.
Oh, goody. Actually, that game wasn't very good. The mechanics just weren't very sound, and I liked the last 10 minutes, but overall
that
was a very
sound remotely
thing.
Like Evan.
God, you're such a fucking idiot.
It's not even close.
Okay. I'm going to cry.
Man, you're just such an idiot.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
That sounded less like him.
I know.
But I think
what we've learned today is that no one can do a good Evan impression.
I don't know.
It's somehow still better the way Clint does it. Because it's like completely openly mocking Evan. Yours is like trying too hard to be like Evan.
That's the story of my life, isn't it?
Just trying too hard to be like Evan.
Yes.
It's true. I'm just so great.
I'm just imagining one of those Muppet guys that's in like the top row and criticize things.
Oh, is that... right.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Number 5, Assassin's Creed 3. Number 4, Dishonored. I'm really happy at the amount of love that Dishonored's getting.
Especially since it's a new IP.
Yeah. Number 3, XCOM Enemy Unknown. Number 2, Xenoblade Chronicles. And number 1...
Alan Wake.
Do you have a guess?
No, wait, hold on. Let me think.
Super Hexagon.
Is it something popular or not popular?
I mean...
The Walking Dead.
It's Guild Wars 2.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Oh, Clint, you're like totally on board with this, aren't you?
What? I don't think it's game of the year. I think that game's pretty great.
You're happy with that list, aren't you?
I mean, no. I think that a lot of those games aren't very good. So,
what about The Last Story?
Or I haven't played them. But I mean, they've got like it is a better list than I thought it was going to be. And Guild Wars 2 is a really good game. Okay, what about this NPD stuff saying Call of Duty is the best-selling game last month?
That's not surprising.
Go figure. So, the software sale... this is a whole bunch of hoopla. Basically, sales dropped 11% from last year. Hardware dropped 13%. From last year.
Goody.
The total retail sales for November. That's a big number. 2.55 billion.
Wow.
So the top games were Black Ops 2, Halo 4, Assassin's Creed, and Just Dance 4.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh man, I downloaded Gangnam Style on my Dance Central. I still need to play that.
I downloaded Call Me Maybe on.
You don't Rock really Band need Blitz to.
And
no, totally I need to play that.
Schooled Evan. I schooled him.
I heard you.
Yeah, aren't you like one of the top players?
I think I'm like number seven.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's great.
Are you proud of that, Clint?
I am. I'm so very proud of it.
It's just like the best achievement you've had in your life so far.
I can die happy. Halo series has sold a total of 50 million units worldwide. The Halo series as a whole.
Okay.
Since Combat Evolved. And more than 5 billion hours played of all the stuff on Xbox Live.
I think if we just harnessed all that time and put it towards something useful.
Like
the cure for cancer, because all those video games players, because that's what always comes up whenever they release like an amount of hours played. Everybody's like, could you imagine if all those people like were researching?
Did something technologically sound like fix cancer or make it so that social security
because the people playing Halo 4 were qualified enough to cure cancer.
Oscar Delta.
What are you doing, the voice? It sounds like an old southern white man.
That's because I am an old southern white man.
We can help those Negroes get rights.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. In Africa.
Anyway. What if they fixed the economy? They can't fix the economy. They're too busy cursing each other out.
Yeah.
They're worse than Congress.
Thanks, Obama.
This got really political.
They're worse than Congress. Oh, no. It's just, no. Let's not.
Epic rap battle.
But oh, wow. Bow, bow, bow. In West Philadelphia. Born and raised.
Please.
So that VGA thing totally happened, you guys.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I like how we're kind of like trying to avoid it.
We should just avoid it. Sam Jackson was terrible and relied too much on lines from his movies to get the crowd to go, right? I said that in that movie one time. Remember? That was totally cool, right? Right?
I play the video games sometimes.
Yeah, I play those sports titles and...
Yeah, I play that Madden NFL 2013.
Executive produced by Jay-Z.
But didn't you see all those video games that he was in?
Yeah, like, yeah, that was really
Cortana,
cool.
He was Cortana, and he was Minecraft.
And yeah, and he was an angry bird.
Yeah. He was Mace Windu the
Angry. Clint, he really was mellow. Clearly an Angry Birds Star Wars character.
Sorry, it's totally a different franchise.
Come on,
I'm sorry.
Get the canon right.
There was an announcement?
There were two announcements.
The Phantom Pain.
Looked pretty badass, whatever it is.
Pretty bad. I'm kidding.
Why?
I've seen it.
Okay. It looks pretty cool. That was probably my favorite thing I saw.
I haven't seen near enough for it to say either way. I mean, it looks like a thriller that may or may not be good because most thrillers aren't good these days.
Sure.
I
don't know what to think about The Last of Us.
Wait. Can we go back to this Phantom Pain thing?
Yeah, because it looks cool.
Because I'm reading this news story, and apparently it's by this new Moby Dick studio that's apparently brand new, based in Sweden.
Okay.
And Matthew, you were sort of right. There is speculation that it could be somehow related to Metal Gear.
Because of the dude's mullet.
The dude kind of looks like Snake. And also, Moby Dick Studio CEO Joakim Morrigan, is his first name is actually an anagram for Kojima.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, Jesus.
So
and Kojima didn't he want to do his own projects?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, God.
But he says it. But he says it after.
It's just an elaborate ruse for Metal Gear Solid Zeroes. That'd be the greatest thing ever. Like, the first Metal Gear Solid trailer wasn't real.
Or it could just be another Kojima game. It doesn't always have to be a Metal Gear Solid game.
Well, what is Zoff? We don't know.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's a thing, I guess.
Yeah. What's the other announcement? Darker Souls.
Dark Souls 2.
Souls Dose.
That's really weird, I think, that it came out this fast. It just got ported to PC. There's still DLC coming out. I mean, not came out, but it got announced this quickly. I find that odd.
Nah. PC version probably didn't take that long.
No, but I mean, it just got ported. There's still DLC coming out, or there has been recent DLC coming out. And there was a pretty, there was a larger gap between Dark or Demon Souls and Dark Souls.
Yeah, that's because there's all sorts of right shenaniganery.
Mm.
But, I don't think it's you know.
So there's that new trailer for The Last of Us that looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
There was
South Park.
South Park
looked great.
Looked really funny.
Looked funny.
Half Jew.
Yeah. There was another trailer, wasn't there? Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what to think.
Present day. Yay.
Sort of.
Kind of. Flashbacks. He has amnesia, so it's probably going to be going back and forth between the two.
Hey, The Last of Us is coming out on May 7th.
Yep. That's good.
That's cool that it got a release date.
And Nintendo had a whole bunch of Wii gamepad prototypes that they unveiled, like how they workshopped up to the gamepad.
This is not at VGAs, right?
No. This is just a thing that I just saw here. So it started out, they attached a small LCD screen to the zapper gun that you hook a Wii remote into.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how they got people to understand the concept of the second screen from the television as well. And then there's this other picture of like something that kind of resembles the gamepad, where it is a game screen with two analog sticks, and then connected to that are two separate Wii remotes.
I saw that. That looked really weird, and I wouldn't understand.
That's
I know it's a
PlayStation
prototype
controller, right?
Yeah.
Even from a prototype standpoint, I don't understand how that would like work.
Well, no, it just you know, like the prototype is just saying like, hey, there are buttons on both sides.
Okay.
Like that.
I mean, if that was like a design prototype, like, hey, this might work.
No, like it's really just, how to approach the
okay.
The size.
They should have just had all the buttons on one side.
The size and shape of it. It attached the Wii remotes with double-sided tape. So that's how much of a protest.
And that's
that
how
is.
Video games are made, folks.
And that's how video games are made. Wii U, best sense system of 2012.
Best new system. We got to give it some award.
Best
new
system.
Wii U.
2012. What do you say we rolled?
Best new system. iPhone 5.
What do you say we rolled? iPad mini, dude. Don't even get me started, bro. That's the best system.
But it doesn't even have Retina screen
technology.
Yeah, it does. No, it doesn't.
Nah, who fuck cares? I don't.
That's what the people at Apple said. They're like, it has Retina screen, right? No. Eh. Oh, well. Ship it anyway.
Yeah. That screen's so small anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter when you're getting to that point.
And they've rebranded the Retina name to be anything that has pixel density that is enough to where if you're holding it, like, if you're looking at it from a specific distance, it is, like, that you can't see any pixels whatsoever. So you're holding an iPhone, like a foot and a half from your face, you're holding an iPad in your lap, you're looking at a laptop screen from a couple of feet. Like, all of those can be considered Retina, but they aren't really, like, that pixel dense, like, incredibly pixel dense, so no matter what, mm-hmm. you're not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's just dumb Apple branding for something that doesn't really make sense to consumers unless they new things about technology,
which most
it's like it's like the car no, washing thing where it's like, yeah, I gotta put that clear coating on.
Clear as somebody who works at a car wash, clear coat does nothing.
What do you say we roll directly into questions?
Let's do it.
This is actually fascinating. I kind of want to know more about what the car wash scams me on.
Well, yeah, it all depends. Like clear coat, no. Rain-X that you're getting put on if it's not being like actually applied, No, that's not doing nothing.
Dude, you could just do Rain-X yourself. It's not that hard.
Yeah, no, I know. But people pay at my car wash extra for Rain-X when it just gets like – it's just like water dripping on your car. But that doesn't do anything for it because immediately after the Rain-X, before it settles in, just a whole bunch of water is there to rinse it off.
Yeah.
My car wash is cheap. It's a scam. Yeah. Don't come through.
All you got to do is put the Rain-X in and then just like Mr. Miyagi that shit up. You're good to
I'm
go.
I'm not
going to
do that.
Yeah, that's definitely the term.
That is the term. Let's go into questions.
Let's do it.
My name's Sam Jackson.
I'm in The Walking Dead. I got cut off your leg because you... I don't give no shits.
My name's Sam Jackson. I'm in Dishonored. Let me pull out a gun and shoot you 20 times because you don't get out my way and you say what too many damn times.
My name's Sam Jackson. I'm in Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Motherfucker.
I put the black in Black Ops 2, motherfucker. Boom, 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 boom.
You best get your hand on the bleep button because I'm going to be cursing up a heck of a storm. Ain't that right, motherfucker?
Hey, I'm Sam Jackson. I'm in Minecraft. Sometimes I like to have fun, too. What's wrong with that, bitch?
Do you like gangster style?
I like how
style?
Matthew started taking on like an Adam Sandler type voice there towards the end.
Sometimes I like to have fun, bitch.
No, your Sam Jackson Adam Sandler was better than your Adam Sandler Adam Sandler.
I know. That's what Adam Sandler sounds like to me. In any movie that isn't Punch Drunk Love.
Kyle wants to know something about that whole Game of the Year stuff. We're not doing that yet.
Yeah.
You'll learn our favorite games of 2012 soon enough.
Yeah.
I think I've said mine.
Yes, you have.
Minecraft 360.
Yep. I would still have that on my top 10 if I could.
Are you excited for the not end of the world? I'm going to party like it's 1999 on December 21st.
I'm going to party like it's the end of the world.
1999 was the end of the world. There's the
Y2K.
That's
why he said that. That's the reference.
Oh.
Matthew wasn't born then, so.
Matthew. Kid.
The joke just went way over my head.
What a kid.
I was in 99.
Have you ever played Mutants and Masterminds?
No. Was that from Miles Cato?
No, it's from Alexander F. Card. And I have heard of this game.
Is that a card game?
I think I might have played it. Let me look it up here. I know
Miles Cadle's been talking about it.
So apparently it's a tabletop RPG with superheroes.
That's pretty cool.
No, I haven't played it, but it sounds awesome. Oh, right.
Dude, Clint, when's your thing going to happen?
I don't know.
All right.
Whenever,
the year, probably.
Yeah, because there's a lot of shit that has to go down.
Okay.
And I got to actually come up with a goddamn plot for it.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Like, I got the setting and I got the story, but I need to know the beginning, middle, and end.
Sure.
So he has the story. It's just everything around the story needs to happen.
Yep. I don't know the beats, I guess I should say. What is the dumbest... I'm going to say that one for last. What are your opinions on the Lord of the Rings film? Miles Cato. What are your opinions on the Lord of the Rings films? Are you going to see The Hobbit?
They're fun.
Yeah, they're good. I've seen them multiple times and watched like the extended cuts or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a certain joy from just watching something that unequivocally nerdy. You know what I mean? Like, not to sound.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I really like those movies. Like I said, I'm seeing The Hobbit at midnight.
Are you going to a theater that's going to have the 48 frames?
I honestly don't know. I don't think they will.
That's too bad.
Because it's Delaware. They probably didn't ship any of that stuff to Delaware because nobody cares about us. But
I really, if I'm gonna see it, I want to see it like that. I'm definitely gonna go see it. I want to see it like that because that's the way that, like, that is how Peter Jackson's been touting this film as being evolutionary, and James Cameron's all like, I'm gonna be shooting Avatar like that because it's cool.
I'm gonna be shooting Avatar in 80 frames per second.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is this movie theater is like the closest one, the nicest one that's within like an hour of my house.
Sure.
So I'd be going so far out of the way to see a 48 frames a second movie instead of whatever it normally runs at. It just 24. Wouldn't be worth it for me. Even 24. If I,
it's 24.
Yeah. Even if I could find a place that did it, it just wouldn't be worth it.
The problem with what I've seen people talk about with 48 frames is that there isn't enough motion blur. Like, it reduces the motion blur so that you see more of the action, but like your eyes normally, like, they see like up to 60 frames or higher. I think it might actually go up to 80.
Right,
but
like, isn't it like looking around you actually do see motion blur?
Yeah, yeah. Your eyes, your brain actually, like if you wave your hand in front of your face, you know, you see that image of your hand moving across like really fast. That's that motion blur. And whenever you're looking at a projected image going at 48 frames a second, they're like, your brain doesn't actually push out that motion blur because, like, that's what the projector is supposed to be doing for you.
And that's what makes your eyes feel weird when watching it, because you expect that motion blur, but it's not there.
Also, by the way, Wreck-It Ralph in 3D, not bad.
No?
Also really bright. Like, I think they finally fixed this whole brightness thing.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, there were a couple, like, this was one of the only, like, two, I think, 3D movies where I haven't gotten a headache from watching it, because I have to wear the 3D glasses over my glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Do you have contacts?
Same thing for me.
I used to, and then I just gave up. Like, it's not like it was a problem. I just didn't care.
Okay.
They're kind of a pain, to be honest.
Yeah, they are.
I don't care.
I it doesn't bother me.
Like, I just wear glasses?
Yes, I do.
That's weird.
You wear glasses? Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm mostly wearing contacts. Like, if I'm going to class or something, I'll just be like, yeah, it's not worth it to put in my contacts and come home and then fall asleep. But totally. Yeah, I've worn glasses since I was a wee lad.
Yeah, so those Lord of the Rings movies are pretty good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like... Yeah.
Did you see Legolas is going to be in the Smaug movie?
Fantastic.
But he's not going to have any legs.
If you were in need of a new cell phone, what kind would you get?
iPhone 5. I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would like something with a lot of apps.
At this point, I mean, I don't know, like, if you're asking from someone who's not invested in an ecosystem, because apparently at this point I can't switch because I'm so invested in the Apple ecosystem with how many apps I've actually downloaded, so I can't switch over, like, even if I wanted to, like, I've got to stick or else I'm losing a whole bunch of functionality. Right. But if you're coming from a place where you're not going to, you just gotta. You got to think, do I want a whole bunch of apps and be on a platform where everyone seems to be developing apps because it is the lead platform? Or do I want to be on a more open structure where I can do more to my phone than like manufacturers really care for
me? I mean, take it from somebody who just had a Droid X for 2 years and it like started breaking down and everything. So I didn't need a new phone. It wasn't just like, oh, I have an upgrade. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try out an iPhone. And as someone who isn't big on like the iOS or wasn't big on Apple products or anything, the iPhone 5 is a really good phone.
Yeah, it is.
So
I would say it's more than an incremental jump forward.
Whatever.
And like Clint said, a lot of people have iPhones. The functionality, like talking, like messaging somebody else who has an iPhone, text messaging,
yeah,
it's much smoother than like using a droid to tag somebody else who has a droid or something like that.
It's also free.
Yeah. So,
like, if everyone on my contacts list had an iPhone, wouldn't need a texting plan.
Yep.
Those are fucking pennies now, anyway. Who needs it?
Yeah, right.
Anyway, the data's where it's at. Data caps are getting bullshit.
And that was the only thing, though, switching over to my iPhone from my old phone. No matter what phone I had switched to, though, I had to go from my unlimited plan to a data plan.
Yeah, but normal users don't really reach the caps on those plans. It's only if you're using your phone to stream video or stuff like that all the time that you're going to...
Yeah, I mean, I use YouTube and Facebook and Twitter you're really constantly on my phone.
Yeah.
And I could track how much data I was using on my droid. I would never come even like near a gig on a strong month of using all these different apps. Like, the biggest thing actually is downloading apps onto my iPhone. It said, you are just coming to a gig, and that was like downloading a bunch of apps that I had before on my droid or were new on the iPhone, so I wanted to get them.
If sleeping were optional, would you choose to do it?
Like, if there was no negative effect?
Like, if you didn't get tired, like, if you weren't fatigued by sleeping, if you couldn't die if you didn't sleep.
Like,
but could you still, like, could you still opt
to sleep? You can still sleep if you want to. It's your choice on whether
or not. Yeah, I would totally do that. Are you kidding me?
No, I wouldn't. If there was no negative connotation to not sleeping, I would stay awake.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, so then if sleeping were optional, you wouldn't sleep.
I would not sleep if I could go without sleeping, without getting any fatigue, without going crazy, without like any of the negative effects of staying awake for a long period of time.
But do you get tired? Like, do you get tired still, or?
Not even so far as mentally,
I would think you might, because things might just start to blur together. And besides, I think when you go to sleep, your like mind can process memories. So.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you didn't need to sleep to do
But I'm saying if it was just that you still get tired, there's nothing other than you just kind of getting a little bit sleepy, but nothing else.
Then like. Could I just like sleep for like 2 hours and then wake up and go for another like 3 days?
Sure.
Yeah, I do.
You know,
like
supposedly
that.
If you want, you can just like make your body like if you get 2 hours of like two naps that are 2 hours each per day, I think you can technically get better rested if that's all you do.
No, that's not true. Because
a way to make like the REM sleep kick in faster.
No, that's based on subject to subject, because REM is actually kicked in between different people.
Right, like, but if you haven't gotten REM in a while, you'll kick into it faster.
No, yeah, but doing 2 hour naps is not good.
Okay,
like cutting yourself that
short.
The best thing that you like the best amount of sleep you get instead of like the 7 or 8 that people say you need to get is actually. Anywhere between 4 and 6 is actually the best you can get. Like, the best for you.
I want to get 10.
Yeah, but people, on average, people live longer if you only sleep for 4 to 6 hours a night.
Whatever, I don't need those years.
So, nah, fuck it.
What?
Nothing.
Check it.
I feel like we've answered this before, but what do you want to see most in the next generation consoles?
Bigger worlds.
I want to see developers exploring different art styles more in AAA games.
I feel like art styles are, well, in AAA games, you're never going to really get that. AAA games are going to be focused on more realistic.
Yeah.
Borderlands
sort of
is probably the farthest it'll stray.
I don't care about that sort of thing, so.
No, I know, but other people do.
I know, but I just think it's sort of futile, and they should just stop.
No, but other people don't think that, especially developers. And
I mean, it's got to be futile because you just – the amount of effort you'd have to put in to make everything realistically animated and render perfectly, like with water and like make sure like glass orbs like reflect sunlight perfectly.
Well, that's another thing. Like talking next generation, that becomes a lot easier with all the particles and stuff you're getting in the Unreal 4.
Yeah, but it's just not possible. And plus, there's just like things in.
No, I'm not saying it's gonna be. I'm not saying it's gonna be realistic. Like it's gonna be photorealism. I'm saying like people want for a AAA game, a big budget game. People are going to be looking more towards realistic or like what they would consider better, like more humanized graphics or something more like Journey. That's – I think art styles changing up are always going to stay in the downloadable or, like, smaller space.
Yeah. That's dumb, though.
No, so, I think it's
so fine. I know this seems like a really weird thing, but I want increased patch sizes.
Patch sizes?
Yeah.
What?
I want –
Please explain.
What?
Increase
patch sizes so that like you can fix a game better.
Oh, sure.
Ship a game fixed.
You can also do that, but I also want the ability.
I feel like people are relying too much on patches now, and the people people that are still without internet are getting screwed for it.
Sure, they are totally. I will also want to be able to browse the store. Wow, like I pull up the dashboard and I'm able to browse the store while playing a game.
The Vita has a sort of function like that.
I want it to be just like I click the guide button again, boom, back in the game, like instantly.
Vita is a couple more button presses, but it's essentially that.
And then I also want to be able to download like or to buy that the like say a game comes out and I just finish it and there's a DLC pack. I want to download that like right away, you know? And also I want to be able to fucking download things while I'm playing a goddamn video game.
You can do that. It's just no, online is the problem for Xbox at least.
Well then fucking just
fix that.
Fix it, man.
Yeah.
Totally possible.
You got to get those patches. It all relates.
Ah, God. And also, fix that fucking bug where if I'm the leader of a party and I have a patch, then it kicks me out of the party, and then I can't join back in because I was the leader, and it basically forms a different party.
Yeah, that's weird.
Also, bring back the Netflix party thing because that was awesome.
Yeah, that I don't know even what happened there. That's...
Well, they just wanted to make it so that like
it was unified across all devices.
Yeah, it's dumb.
They just bring it to all fucking devices.
Yeah, right.
That'd be great.
Well, no, because Sony is stingy on their cross game chat.
Well, they'll bring that into the next console.
Yeah, they gotta.
They have to.
There's too much of a need for it. I know there was a rumor going around that PlayStation Plus was going to have that feature at one point.
I remember that when PlayStation Plus was first coming out.
Yeah. Then also, I had a thing. Oh right, there was that news story that PlayStation 3 was the most used Netflix box.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's Sony just hyping that up or not, because it was Sony who said that.
Well,
for whatever reason, it
but also Netflix
for me.
Netflix even said like this is the platform we're developing towards first.
Did it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Between exciting gameplay, impressive graphics, and an engaging story, which is the most important?
Gameplay, graphics, and story.
It's always gameplay, then story, then graphics. And I
like
think some
story.
Huh?
Look at Far Cry 3.
Well, no, like the gameplay is fucking great. The story's all right, but the graphics are like the gameplay is why that game gets a 4.
But I mean, what you mean the story?
No. The gameplay is why it gets a 4. The story is why there's
a bad score. Okay, sorry, I took it the wrong way.
Yeah,
I guess I don't know. It kind of depends on how much a game places an emphasis on something.
Yeah, it's all case by case basis. I think,
but like Super Meat Boy, it's like, yeah, I don't really give a shit that story's kind of trite. So,
because
they don't care. They clearly don't care. But it's something like, oh man, Assassin's Creed. Like, if that story's bad, then it's gonna hurt the game more, or Far Cry 3.
Well,
it all depends on how much the game invests in those areas itself.
Yeah.
So like The Walking Dead, for instance, that doesn't really have exciting gameplay, but it has a really engaging story, and that is the
art style, which is the two focuses it wanted to hit, and it hits really well.
The Heavy Rain, great looking game. And fantastic story. L.A. Noir, same thing. Mm-hmm. I think those are the three pinnacles that if a game can achieve all of those, that's a rare thing. And when that happens, you get Max Payne 3, and that's the best thing ever.
Okay.
you get Spec Ops The Line, and that's the best thing ever. But it's just fine.
I think I would argue that the best thing isn't that all three of them are great individually, but that they all work together well.
Like I said, sure. I think it goes more on a case-by-case basis of how much the developer wants to emphasize that in the game.
But I think as we move forward, story has to become a thing that developers strive to make better. We're nailing gameplay in a way that is absolutely fantastic, and graphics have never been better. Like, we're manipulating art styles in games like Journey and Fez to make them beautiful, and at the same time we're getting these realistic worlds like Far Cry, and all of these games are great through their own art styles. But like, What really sets a game apart right now isn't really the graphics or the gameplay. It's more or less the story. Like, if you have a really engaging story, you can set yourself apart more so than your art style or your graphics. For me, at least, or art style or your gameplay. But in a case like Far Cry 3, like, that game is just fucking fun, and you just like there's no way that you can't not have fun with it. Like, I can't see anyone not having a good time with that game, even if they hate the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this the story's not terrible. It just never goes anywhere.
Right. Different. But like I said, like, this entire year, it feels like has just been full of good gameplay,
and
fun games,
and innovation
story.
Like, there's been a lot of innovation in all three of these, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
like, I should say, AAA titles that have come out, good gameplay, good graphics, disappointing story.
Well, yes, in the AAA, yeah, because Assassin's Creed, Far Cry,
Dishonored, even story wasn't great.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
What? You thought Dishonored story was really good?
Like,
did you?
What?
Did you
Dishonored story?
No, I said the actual revenge tale, but everything the actual revenge tale of Corvo going out and killing all these people, that's not exciting. But how they manipulate Corvo, that's the exciting part.
Right. I like the idea of like power in Dishonored, but I don't.
I also really like the world that they build, and I think the world they build is a lot like that is at its core part of the story, because there is this disconnect between the poverty and the rich, and that is a key part of that story.
I think more of the exciting stuff of like what you're doing in your revenge story comes across in the gameplay of how you're accomplishing.
But there's
your
a lot more environmental storytelling than there is actual narrative, and that game achieves environmental storytelling in a fantastic way.
No, yeah, I agree. But what you're saying, like the revenge tale and like how you're going out to complete your revenge,
like,
I would say.
But that is just to get you to a mission, like. That's not good, but like the actual world is part of, like, I can't you can't say that a world isn't part of its story.
No, no, I agree. But I
and so and so wrong, to say
you said like what you're doing to like achieve your revenge. You said
no.
Like that.
Like actually like why Corv like I don't really like okay. Yeah, Corvo really liked this lady and she got killed and he was accused of it, so he's going to go kill all of those people that accused him of it. That's not really exciting, but it's this manipulation of how these like rebels manipulate Corvo into doing what they want him to do.
Okay. And thinking I misunderstood
that,
what and you thinking
well, that stuff's okay, but, thinking, but I just wish that there no, was more of like I wish that any of those characters were even kind of interesting.
But they are like they really are because they're manipulating Corvo and making him think that what he's doing is the proper thing to do and it is in a way. But then who's going to come into power is these assholes who are just going to throw you aside and take that power for themselves.
But I just don't understand the motivation for.
Because
really any of them.
Because people are assholes.
I understand their motivation.
Like
mainly,
it's power. Everybody wants power. There's this power struggle.
Sure, but if there's a compelling motivation, then it would be far
because,
more interesting to disturb a power. Power's good.
Because they want
wait,
control.
Matthew, hold on.
They Matt, want to
that's
control
how
the
most
world.
Any story is set up is the bad guy wants
right,
some sort of power.
There's just no. It's just like I don't
and
get
those
why
people, those they, people no, do explain their
you,
own motivations.
Yeah, they're like she wasn't ruling this country the way that I would have. So I'm like let's take this country back and we'll rule it the way we want to and we'll kill that guy who thinks that her way was the best way.
Mm-hmm. And the one guy he was like a general who was kind of dishonored. Well, pun. But and then the other one, his brothers were like more powerful than him, and he was kind of jealous of that. They have their own motives. If you want to talk characters and how they relate to Corvo, I think the worst thing in that game, story wise and character wise, is the little girl and Corvo's relationship because Corvo is a silent protagonist. I cared nothing for that little girl. I didn't have any feelings towards her because I didn't understand where my relationship stood with her.
But you played hide and seek with her.
Yeah, that was dumb.
But
that
I
was
think,
the most interaction
but
you
I,
had that was supposed to give you feelings.
I mean, I like Dowd, the other assassin guy that killed the queen.
I
thought he was cool.
I don't think that you can say that a story is bad and not include the world and the contextual environmental storytelling that it creates.
I think the world is cool. I just think like it could have been better. Is what I should be saying. The story of Dishonored could have been better. That largely relates to me at least because Corvo is a silent protagonist.
That's fine. But to say that the story is bad isn't like that. That's just I don't understand where you like whenever we started this conversation it was the story is bad but the world is cool but the world is built from the story like they had to craft this world and there's a ton of backstory
okay.
revolved around
Corvo's story is bad the world I think is cool but the Corvo's story is in a way separate from the world
no
it's yes not.
Okay the narrative how about that.
But
the
then,
narrative
then
isn't
but
very
no,
good.
then it comes back to what I was saying before of how they're manipulating Corvo. Like that is the narrative. It is all about this struggle for power and achieving their rendition of what Dunwall should be.
No, and I didn't like that as much as you did, Clint, because I didn't feel as much for these characters. I understood their motivations. I just didn't think it was played out well. And like I said, I think it's largely because Corvo is silent.
All right.
I don't know if it's because he's silent.
I just have a problem with the silent protagonist thing. Corvo's motivations really? Could have been better. His relationships with other characters could have been better.
Yeah.
There was no reason for him to be a silent protagonist.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Dishonored's great. It's a 5-star game. Fuck you.
Sure.
We're moving on to the next question.
Whatever.
Who is your least favorite actor or actress?
Either Matthew McConaughey or Ben Affleck.
Which one's the
Ben
actress?
Affleck's done some good shit recently. Or decent, at least.
Not a fan.
Okay. So
I think he's redeemed himself fine. Chris Tucker? Is that his name?
That is an actor's name?
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
Okay.
Clint?
What?
Who's yours?
I don't know. Jamie Kennedy?
Tyler Perry's Medeas.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Jamie Kennedy?
Well, man, Malibu's Most Wanted?
Fuck you.
He shoots himself in the foot. It's a great movie.
So if you had to take this most hated actor or actress and put them in a movie that you're writing, they play the main character, what's it going to be about?
Them dying.
That's terrible.
It's just going to be a really extended sequence of Saw.
That's terrible. No.
It's not actually going to happen. It's just a movie.
Yeah,
but it's still terrible. You got to – no. Here's what you're going to do.
Everyone will come.
You know –
Like sexually or
If you want to think that way.
You know the story of It's a Wonderful Life where his life just starts turning to shit?
Huh.
There's like that but with no good ending.
Oh, and that sounds terrible?
No.
Oh, but it didn't actually happen.
It didn't actually happen. Because it's just a movie.
And then they get STDs.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
I'm just throwing that in there for Evan.
It doesn't actually happen. I don't actually want it to happen, but if she was to get it, I wouldn't be too angry.
Your Sam Jackson sounds a lot like that voice you're doing right now.
Is that a Sam Jackson voice?
That sounds kind of like what your Sam Jackson
was. So if you had to go through the whole day speaking only quotes from a single movie, what movie would you use?
American Psycho.
I don't know. Sam Jackson would probably use Pulp Fiction.
The Artist.
Birdemic, maybe.
There are lines in The Artist. It's not just silent.
No, I know, but there's not a lot of lines. I wouldn't be saying much the whole day.
Yeah, it would all be John Goodman lines. Actually, Barton Fink, just go around and shout, I will show you the line of the mind!
That's
Super
the only
Troopers,
line
maybe. Super Troopers would be good. Bearfucker!
So I would be C.K. Dexter Haven.
Oh, C.K. Dexter Haven. Champagne's a great leveler. That's a good movie. Philadelphia Story? It's great. Have you guys watched Stargate SG-1?
No. What am I, a nerd?
I watched some of, what was it, Stargate, what was the one that just got canceled, like, last year?
Atlantis?
No. Stargate.
Battlestar Galactica?
No, Stargate.
Subspace Warp Drive?
Real Housewives of Stargate?
Real Housewives of Stargate.
Breaking Stargate?
Stargate Universe, that's what it was called.
Hey, Clint, remember what I told you we would watch during my winter break?
Teen Wolf.
My winter break starts next week.
Yeah, we should watch Teen Wolf.
I don't know why I told
you
that.
Don't watch Teen Wolf.
I'm going to watch Teen Wolf.
Yeah, he is.
I forget even why I
It's too late for you, Ryan. Why would I even?
So I watched some of that Stargate Universe, and that was all right. But I really only watched it because I knew somebody who's in that show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he was like the lead Marine guy, like the young Marine guy who had sex with two different ladies in that show or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So your role model.
Yeah, my role model. But no, I never watched Stargate SG-1. I've heard things about it. I don't know. Stargate SG-1, and that, like, I've just heard the name. I've never heard anything good or bad about it. Sorry, Michael Yanos, can't answer your question about Stargate SG-1. I wish I could validate whatever your feelings might be for it. You know what? If you think that show sucks, it probably sucks.
If you think that show sucks, Clint probably likes it.
If you think it rules, it's probably pretty cool. It's no Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Is that the one that Will Wheaton was in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just yeah, wondering. You know, the good one.
The good one.
I don't know. I kind of want to watch Star Trek.
Who is Will Wheaton?
He's a dude. An actor,
dude.
What
does he do?
He's an actor.
He was in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah.
That was really old.
So
he was in The Guild.
And he was in some
Something good he's been in recently?
Big Bang Theory.
Okay, what was something good he's been in recently?
He does the
tabletop show?
No.
The show called Tabletop? Okay.
You should watch that. It's a thing.
Okay, maybe. I'm not going to watch the fucking Big Bang Theory, that's for sure. Under no circumstances.
Will Wheaton's all right.
Look, that show is just sort of painfully unfunny to me, so.
You said that already. That's the second
time. I know. That was off the podcast, so. Offcast.
No, I thought you said that.
The question that I was saving for last. Was the dumbest experience you've had because a friend talked you into it?
That's this dumb podcast. No. Oh, geez, I don't know.
Man, I've done some pretty dumb things.
Yeah.
With my friend.
Was it a girl?
No.
Oh.
Man, I'm trying to think of some of them. That's another one. There was this one time that my friend Grant and I, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, went out in his backyard and started shooting a BB gun just in the air.
Man, you are stupid.
And there was this like storage unit place behind his house. And so we would try and shoot and make it ding off of the top of the storage units. And we got really good at it until we heard someone shout, "Hey," because they were unloading something like 2 o'clock in the morning in the storage place. That was really dumb. The next day we tried to hunt squirrels with that BB gun and we didn't.
You're an asshole.
We didn't hit anything.
What the fuck? I'm just going to go around and shoot wildlife, you know.
Squirrels.
Just to cause them.
I live in goddamn Texas. What do you think?
Oh, it's not like a bald eagle or something.
Because everyone else doesn't mean it's right. Dude, it's still a fucking living animal that you're just subjecting to pain for no goddamn reason other than, he got hurt.
Was he going to eat the squirrel?
We didn't shoot any of them. We didn't know
we were going to.
But there was this one time that this kid.
Evan's on my side.
I don't think he would be. I don't think he would care.
There was this kid, and I think I saw the mark from this. I might. This kid took my hand, told me he was going to show me a magic trick.
Did he put it down his pants?
No.
Oh, okay. Not the same story that I have then.
He poured salt on my hand and then took an ice cube and laid it right on top of there and held it down.
Oh, doesn't that burn?
It burns like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
It burns.
Why would you do that?
Because he thought he was going to show me a magic trick. I still have the scar from it, though.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah. I can still feel there. It's not
no,
like
I'm it, not. I'm not sorry that it happened. I'm sorry I was laughing.
That's fine. I don't fucking care. It was stupid.
It's your stupid fault for doing that.
Yeah.
Oh man. Stupidest thing, probably just like sheer dumb factor. Because I've done some like dumb stuff, but my friend he lived behind or in front of some woods, and in the middle of these woods there was this like creek that was probably about like waist deep on me,
mm-hmm.
And we were like, all right, look, there's another whole half of those woods we can like. Go over there, do stuff like shoot each other with airsoft guns.
Yeah,
so that's what we did.
Yeah. There, I did another one of the like we went down.
No, airsoft
this creek.
Airsoft guns. Like airsofting is actually like a thing, Matthew.
Did you?
I know, but it still hurts like a bitch. I don't know.
No, it
why
doesn't.
Like,
did you ever go in like into a creek and like a kind of dried up creek bed and shoot random airsoft guns?
No. Well, I've played actual airsoft with people. Oh,
man. What we would do is we would have hide and seek, and one of us would take the sniper rifle airsoft gun, and we would go hide out in the woods, and the other one would try to find us, and then, like, the one with the sniper would just start shooting at the other one.
Yeah, this sounds like Texas.
It was great.
Sounds like Delaware. So, yeah, so there was this creek, and we were like, all right.
Also,
yeah.
It's fucking illegal to shoot airsoft guns.
Is it really?
In that town.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so we were like, all right, we got to build on this creek. So we went around. We didn't even go. We decided to build a bridge across the creek. We didn't even go to the store and get, like, actual wood and tools and stuff. We just went around looking for plywood that was laying around and logs that was laying around the woods. And we got in the creek, like, waist deep in our only change of clothes that we had.
Idiot.
And just was building this bridge for, like, 4 hours. Then we came home and we were soaked because we didn't think it through. Like, my shoes and everything were soaked. Idiot. And just ruined.
Idiot.
And we did it again.
Idiot.
We went back the next week and did it again.
Idiot.
And we never even built the bridge. Every time we did it, because we didn't have nails or anything, it would just float down the creek.
Matthew's already told his story on the podcast.
No, yeah, I was going to say that.
Man, that is a dumb story, Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not proud of it. What do you want me to say?
You shouldn't be.
Look, all I'm saying is there was no coordinated effort to make a girl lose her clothes. That part was made up.
Sure. Wait, it was made up that there was a girl playing?
No, there's a girl playing.
What? Like,
and so you guys just thought it was a good idea? Like, yeah.
So you thought, hey, let's play Steel Call of Duty. Oh, wait, there's a girl here, so that's an extra incentive.
That's a bonus.
It's just like, it's a thing. That's it.
I don't get what you
mean.
There
was no, like, oh, she has to go double or any of that shit. If she's good at Call of Duty, and she's good at Call of Duty. And we knew she was good at Call of Duty. So,
but you still wanted to try to get her naked.
In the sense that, wait. I mean, we're guys and we're straight, so yes.
So
but not in the sense that, like, it was a, it wasn't like it was a coordinated effort to get her naked.
Was it your sister?
It sounds like it was.
It really wasn't.
There are five guys and one girl, and
yeah,
you're playing...
but we weren't like, all right, there she is, better attack her. It was just like, you know, fucking.
No, I'm not saying you, like, raped the girl or something.
No.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I was talking about in the game. I was saying like the games were all free fall.
Call of Duty was because there was a girl there, right?
No.
So you would have played your Call of Duty if there was no girl there?
But
probably, knowing my friends.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
You knew friends.
Okay,
that's a complicated question.
Here's the really the only good time to play strip anything.
Girls outnumber the guys?
Girls outnumber the guys, or there is a strict guy-to-girl ratio. Like, it is 1-to-1.
Devil's three-way.
And there should probably be some kind of alcohol involved. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Don't strip games sober. That's weird.
Yeah.
Unless it's all girls and just you.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
I just feel a little bit more awful every time I talk to you guys.
Man, imagine if you had just played strip Call of Duty with no girls. What was that?
You guys never would have made me hear the end of it, is what would happen.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't.
I don't understand the thought process behind... But then why did you... Okay, wait. Why did I agree to this?
Because I'm a sheep and I go along with what everyone else says.
But how many items of clothing did you wind up with at the end of... Like, how many did you have left?
A single clothing item.
So you essentially lost.
Not quite.
There was a naked dude.
Somebody almost lost.
There was a naked dude?
You told the story far enough that you.
Yeah,
can tell
yeah. There was a naked dude.
Are you friends still?
Well, I was never friends with him. So. Also,
that almost sounds worse.
Wait. Here's the more important question.
Also, he was really hairy. So.
Oh, okay, wait. Here's the more important. Now it's even more important.
No, I didn't look there.
Okay. But. Are you sure? You didn't even take a peek.
Yes, positive. I wouldn't be here today. I would be in a coma.
What? Okay. Ryan, in that hypothetically. Would you have peeked? Would you see what the dude's packing?
Yes.
Oh, I think it's just took a turn for the weird.
Why not?
Gotta see what you're up against here.
Well, we're gonna rape the girl. Just
fucking hell.
That's not what I was going for
God
at all.
Damn it. Stop it
well,
right now. Stop it. Stop it.
Yourself.
Stop it. No. I'm stopping us.
Call of Duty.
No, I'm stopping. Fucking shut up. We're done. We're going to move on to whatever fucking fourth segment we come up with that is not talking about any kind of this shit. I'm not. No.
You asked.
I asked, but
Clint,
I didn't want to.
Answer your own question.
I answered my own question?
Would you have peaked?
Yeah,
I know it. What's the impression?
Okay, but I don't want to ask the question that just popped into my head. So we're just going to
type in the text and I'll see if it's
No. We're moving on to fourth. I'm not going to ask it. Last time I asked a question like that, we wound up talking about STDs and things went terribly. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So
fourth segment. Let's go.
Fourth segment. Fucking shit.
No, I don't. I've got enough to make this work, whatever. I don't care.
Okay.
All right. Hey, guys. Fourth segment. Gonna be quick, because it's late. We're gonna do some back-of-the-box trivia with some of my top games of 2012. These are not probably all going to be on my list, but they're some of the best games of 2012. So we're going to duke it out, Hazard style.
Is that a hint that Duke Nukem is one of these?
Maybe.
Okay.
That came out
Duke
last
Nukem wins
year.
Wink. Every year.
Gotcha.
Welcome to blank, a vibrant and sprawling blank. As
Matthew. Far Cry 3.
Wrong. Oh. As blank. You are tasked with infiltrating and taking down blank. Keep your cover intact and navigate between your duty blankety blank. When you're blank, the rules are different. And it's got a bunch of bonus content stuff on there. You gotta
read the bonus content.
There are three packs. Expand the blank side of the game experience with this exclusive mission that includes a custom attire.
Custom attire.
Car and weapon.
Car and weapon? Car?
Yeah.
Huh.
In this other pack, you push the protagonist's martial arts skills to the test.
Oh,
come on.
Sleeping Dogs.
Come on.
What?
I keep forgetting that game came out.
Three ranks and one of them is martial arts.
There's no fucking way to get around that.
Alright. Sleeping Dogs. I always forget that game came out this year.
From the makers of blanks comes a game about blank. You are our last hope.
Matthew, Mass Effect 3.
Wrong again.
Alright.
As the commander of an elite paramilitary organization known as Blank, you control Blank against Blank.
paramilitary. Ryan?
Ryan.
No,
Ryan.
Spec Ops?
No.
Matthew?
No, you can't.
I know, but can I just guess?
Yeah.
XCOM.
Correct.
Oh, duh. That makes
sense. You'll need more than luck to sir. I don't think this is the actual game's box. In fact, this looks photoshopped as hell, but I couldn't find the actual game box. This will have to do.
Fair enough.
You'll need more than luck to survive. Beyond the limits of civilization lies blank. A place.
Matthew. Borderlands 2.
You're terrible. You're absolutely goddamn terrible. A place ruled by blank and human misery where your only escape is through blank or the muzzle of a gun.
This Far is, Cry?
That's fucking terrible. Yeah, it's Far Cry. Okay. Ryan with two.
Yeah, that's a bad back of the box.
Can you master the blank? In this game, you play as blank, a creature who lives in a blank world. That is, until one day where blank encounters a strange and mysterious artifact. The artifact gives the protagonist a magical...
Matthew. Fez.
Correct!
All right.
Ding, 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 ding. Quote, spectacular, end quote.
Spec Ops 1.
blank. Oh, man.
I should have said that.
Blank solves everything. You are...
Matthew. Max Payne 3. Yep. No shit, Dishonored.
You said Max Payne 3.
I know.
You are blank, the once trusted bodyguard of the blank.
I don't know. Is it Dishonored?
It's Dishonored.
Oh, okay.
You didn't say Ryan.
I haven't said my name on any of these because I'm the only one else playing, other than you, who keeps jumping the gun.
I'm going to read these quotes first.
Okay.
Bigger, more intense, and even sexier. Sounds IGN. Like
yeah.
If you're not a fan, now's the time to start. Yahoo Games.
Matthew, Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3. That's correct.
Sexier?
Yeah.
Even sexier. Take Earth back. Earth is ground zero in a war to save the galaxy. Alright. This back of the box is just full of things that I can't say.
Okay.
For blank, the blank that took his blank years ago.
Max Payne. Ryan.
Ryan.
Max Payne 3?
Correct. Ryan is the winner.
Yeah.
For Max Payne, the tragedies that took his loved ones years ago are the wounds that refuse to heal. No longer a cop, close to washed up, and addicted to painkillers, Max takes a job in Sao Paulo, Brazil, protecting the family of wealthy real estate mogul Rodrigo Branco in an effort to finally escape from his troubled past. But
too bad the entire thing was a disappointment.
As the events spiral out of his control, Max Payne finds himself alone on the streets of an unfamiliar city, desperately searching for the truth and fighting for a way out. Rockstar Games presents... Max Payne 3.
What are you doing? That's not even kind of...
He's appreciating a good game, unlike some people here.
Yeah, but Max Payne 3 doesn't sound like...
It could.
It doesn't.
It's got some guitar in there.
Not a lot, really. And there's no... anywhere.
Yeah, no, there's not. I didn't say... Like,
you totally did.
I didn't do that. No, you, that's fucking weak. No, that's still weak. It's like... Okay.
Well, that doesn't happen either.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't.
Totally does.
Well, what's the song that does that?
The one.
From what level?
That one.
Oh, okay.
That one right there.
Yeah, and there's all that
dubstep. I listened to all the soundtrack a good amount of times, and I don't remember hearing that ever.
There's all that dubstep and stuff?
Yeah, I remember that. You're right. It's like Far Cry 3.
There is.
So wait, is that a good dub sub cue?
What, in Far Cry 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Okay.
The way it's used is what makes it.
It was pretty cool.
Well, that's
cool.
How musical cues work generally.
But the one at the end of the game is just the worst.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just so bad.
All right, well, that's all for tonight.
Fuck you, Matthew. Fuck you. I'm taking... I got this. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode, folks. This has been Error Report. And if you like what you hear, or if you don't, still, follow us on Twitter. I'm at OriginalClint. Ryan is at Ryan_McGinn. That's McGinn. Matthew's at TarotVirus.
No, I'm going to do Evan's impersonation of him. Matthew's at TarotVirus.
God damn it, Matthew. TarreL virus. Fine, don't follow Matthew. He's just going to interrupt everything you say with what you're about to say, just more annoyingly.
Evan is at not_found_blog.
Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome.
Follow us on Facebook. Or join our Facebook group. It's Error, Not Found's Civilized Discourse Corner. That's where we pull our questions for the podcast.
I thought it
podcast.
Was Error, Not Found's Civilized Discourse Avenue.
And
you can check out the site. We'll have the Game of the Year stuff going up. Your reviews up there, Clint, for Far Cry 3.
Yeah, you should check that out. And then play that game, because that game real good. But you should probably just play it on the PC.
Matthew did his editorial on Spec Ops, which you don't really have to read because it's not that great of a game.
Nah.
And
mine will
be going up this week.
It's fine.
Again, Evan said it last week. I'll say it again this week. We'll be doing editorials now every Thursday. We'll be rotating who's writing them. I am this week. Clint is next week. So you can look forward to those. And, yeah.
Word.
It's a podcast.
No, it's not. I'm going to keep it going.
Dude?
Matthew, you leave. Ryan and I are going to start our two-man podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Bye, guys.
Bye, Matthew.
All right.
Good riddance.
Wait, what if you guys start making fun of me when I leave?
Oh, don't worry. We will.
No one will know.
I'm not going to leave then. I'm going to leave.
Get out.
All right. Now he's gone.
Okay, good. All right.
Why do we...
Did you see what he smelled like?
I see what he smelled
like? Don't judge me. I'm tired.
Did I see what he smelled like?
Did you? Well, do you smell what he smelled like? Doesn't sound right.
Did you smell him? Man, that was rank.
That's how you say that sentence. Man, it is almost 3... Well, not really. It's almost 2:30 in the morning. I'm tired.
I need to finish Halo 4.
We should play Halo 4 sometime soon.
Okay, but I gotta play Persona 4.
I also need to play more Persona 3, and I should probably... What other game should I play? Oh, Walking Dead I need to finish.
Yeah.
Man, that game would be so much easier to finish if I could just listen to podcasts during it, but you still kind of have to listen to what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's rough.
Yeah. That's the same way with Persona. Like, whenever you're going through Tartarus, just podcast away. But whenever you're doing everything else, you're just listening to that insanely awesome music.
Yeah, no, which I understand that's fine. But this is my second time going through the stuff for Walking Dead. So that's what makes it so tedious for me, pretty much.
How was that Hell Yeah game?
It's fun. I mean, I haven't picked it up much ever since I put it down a while ago.
Okay, because it was like $4 on Steam.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is fun. You pick it up, it's like you've seen what it is like. It's just all the mini games and stuff. It's easy to pick up and put down. It's nothing to write home about.
It's no Far Cry 3?
It's no Far Cry 3.
Man, I think Far Cry 3 might actually breach my top 10. I really do.
Oh, Far Cry 3 is definitely on my top 10.
Yeah.
I don't know about top 5, maybe.
Oh, man. But that game's real good. Like, even though the story doesn't really go anywhere exciting, like, there are some really cool moments, like the beginning, the other scene that you have with Voss. I actually think there are two scenes plus the beginning that you have with Voss that are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And
when he starts doing the insanity stuff, that's really good.
Yeah. And then there's a mission that you have at the end with Hoyt that's pretty cool. And the final moment, like the final decision that you get to make, what is happening when you make that final decision to get the good or the bad ending?
Mm-hmm.
Like it disturbed me.
Okay. Are we still recording? Cause I was going to say spoiler, but I don't want to do so. If we are still recording.
Well, let's stop recording and I'll tell you.
Okay. All right. All thanks for listening, guys.
Later.